So today is Sunday, November 20th. It's 10:08. This is the LSB meeting of KPFK, and I am Ziri Vidot, the chair. Thank you all for coming this Sunday. And so we have our opening business at about 30 minutes. This meeting is called to order, and we on the agenda, it first says we have to do the agenda approval. Have you all seen the agenda?
After roll call.
Yeah, you need to call the roll.
Yes. Okay, so are you doing the roll call, John?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Christina Avalos.
Here.
Jose Benavides. I'll come back. Fred Blair.
Present.
Sandy Childs.
Here.
Marisol Cruz. I'll come back. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
George Funmaker. I'll come back. Eric C. Jacobson. Avelia Jones. Ollie Lexa.
Here.
Rob Macon. Barbara Marbach. Oye Oyeyipo.
Present.
Myla Reeson.
I'm here.
Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Ziri Rideau.
Present.
Paul Roberson. Ruth H. Strauss.
Here.
Oscar Ulloa. Polina Vasiliev. Very faintly, I believe I heard you.
Let's check. I'm here.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Elizabeth von Gunten.
Here.
Harvey Wasserman.
Here.
Carlos Zavala.
Here.
Michael Novick is the interim general manager and is an ex officio member of this body. Michael Novick.
Present.
Madam Chair, I'm going to go back to see if anybody got on late. Jose Benavides. Marisol Cruz. George Funmaker. Eric C. Jacobson. Avelia Jones. Rob Macon. Barbara Marbach. Paul Roberson. Oscar Ulloa. Any members who arrive late, please announce yourself on the stream so you can be included in the attendance record.
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
The roll call has not been completed, Bella.
Paul Roberson is in Cuba. He will not be able to join us.
Thank you. Okay, so can you announce the roll call, John, please?
Let me do the count, please.
Madam Secretary, this is Oscar Ulloa.
Okay. 17 present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. That includes Oscar, right?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much. So we have quorum. And so the next point on the agenda is the agenda approval. So have you all received the agenda?
Chair.
Yes, I see your hand up, Ellie. In just a second, have you all seen the agenda?
Bella DeSoto would like to be recognized.
Okay, then you get in line, please. So we have two hands up right now from Ali and Myla. So if you want to be next, then Bella can be next. And then we would like to get to the agenda. So please, because we are a lot of people, we have a lot of stuff to do today. Keep your comments to 90 seconds, because I don't even have a timekeeper yet, because we're not even at this point yet. Okay, thank you. Ali, go ahead.
I believe we have to address absences. And I would like to make sure that all the people that aren't present that haven't asked for an excused absence are recorded as being not present with no excused absence.
Thank you, Ali. So we have in our agenda first the agenda approval and then the excused absences. And so I noted your point. So Myla, it's your turn.
Thanks. I was going to actually make the same point that Ali just made.
Thank you. And Bella?
I defer from that position because I want each one individually to be addressed individually. And Paul Robertson has an excuse. He's out of the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, there's Lawrence and then Paulina, and then let's get the agenda. Paulina, go ahead.
I thought you just called on me, Chair.
Oh, sorry, Lawrence, go ahead. Yes.
I volunteer to be a timekeeper for you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I think in the next agenda, we could put the timekeeper right after the roll call and the absences and then the agenda. This is what I suggest next time, John. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lawrence, for doing this. Paulina, go ahead.
I would like to move to approve the agenda.
Okay.
Bella objects.
Okay. I second, Chair. I second.
So first it was objected and then seconded by you. So, okay, thank you, Paulina. Bella, is there anything else you want to say?
Yes, we have got not enough time has been allocated to various agenda items, specifically the IGM when it comes to responding to Q&A on the second part. And also we need to relate to the public and the rest of the LSB what transpired at the recent governance committee meeting with the unfinished business that was summarily postponed and divided into two parts. And these are very important. This is an important motion. And also there are issues regarding Q&A from directors. And this is going to require more time today because of the nature of recent PMB resolutions, not just the last two, but from the 20th and the 27th of October.
Thank you, Bella. So I will speak with Michael Novit, who was the originator of this motion that has been basically separated into two motions to come up with better wording so that we can vote on that next time. So this is not going to be part of this meeting. So I would like to have the agenda approved. There were two people approving the agenda. Does that mean it's approved now, or do we have to?
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Bella DeSoto seems to want to extend certain items. Either she can suggest a time for each item and it could be voted on, or we can just roll over her and pretend she didn't speak. I don't know what you want to do.
Chair, point of order.
What's your point of order, Lawrence?
So what would be in order is that we approve the agenda, and once the agenda is approved, then Bella could make some suggestion as to what time she wants to allocate to those items.
I'm sorry, Lawrence, that's incorrect. The agenda
No, it's not incorrect.
You amend a motion before you approve it. You don't amend a motion after it's approved because the final approval is approved as amended. You amend it, you vote on the amendments, and then you vote on the amended main motion last.
Okay, excuse me. What I understand is that first an agenda has to be approved before it can even be amended.
No, it has to be moved. The agenda has to be on the floor, Madam Chair. So Vasiliev moved approval of the agenda. The agenda is now on the floor. Amendments can be made to the agenda. Those amendments can be voted on, and then the amended main motion will be voted on last. The agenda is on the floor because Vasiliev moved approval of it and Reyes seconded. So amendments are in order now, and also going to a final vote on it is in order now.
So you just repeated what was said before.
So we're going to this time make a more strict rule of interrupting. Okay, I'm going to give two warnings. If people keep interrupting each other, I would like to have an orderly meeting. So then after the second time, they will not be called upon till the end of the meeting. This has been actually established in 2011, I think, in the LSB. And so I would like us all to be disciplined in our conversation today. Thank you. So I want to go back to Bella now, who said that she wants more time allocated. How much time do you want to allocate to the general manager response?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I emailed you, I think it was yesterday or the day before, regarding this area. The IGM has extensive report back in opposition to recent PMB motions. But beyond that,
What's in order is for Bella not to get into a discussion about the IGM, but okay. What time she wants
Lawrence,
to
Lawrence, you have not been recognized. This is exactly what I'm talking about. When you say a point of order, then wait for me to recognize you, please. I will, but I don't want to be run over the whole time. No, nor should anybody else be run over.
My apologies, Chair.
Thank you. So, Bella, can you just say a number of how many minutes you would like this item to be prolonged?
Yes. So the IGM is under the IGM when, let me see here.
You said 10 minutes. You wrote to me you would like 10 minutes. Is that okay to you? For you?
No, that should be increased to 20 minutes. I'm sorry.
Okay. So then we will have to probably vote on that.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure which item we're talking about.
About the IGM responses under number 3B, like boy.
Okay.
Response 5 minutes was allocated. She's talking about making this into 20 minutes. So I personally would think that 10 minutes would be enough. This is what you earlier asked for, Bella. So I think we need to have a vote on that then.
Then I would compromise to 15, Madam Chair. 15 minutes?
I think this meeting is going to be extremely long. Other directors will approach these topics also. So, I mean, what happened on the PMB? So that's why I think we should be good with 10 minutes. If we really feel we're not in the middle of a conversation, so are you okay with 10 minutes, Kimberly?
Okay. Thank you.
So, John, if you can put this in this is under the 3B IGM response.
A point of information.
Okay, what's your point of information, Myla?
That hasn't been approved by the body. The agenda is belongs to the body, not just to Bella and Zuri.
Okay.
So if we want to extend that time, we have to all agree on it.
Okay, so that's why I wanted to vote before. So let's first hear what Beth has to say, and then we can vote on that. Beth, what do you want to say?
It's a legacy hand from when we were trying to figure out the procedure for approving the agenda. I think John Gary was correct. You can take my hand down.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so then we will have to vote if we will extend the IGM response to 10 minutes. John, can you call the roll, please?
Point of order.
What's your point of order, Felina?
What's in order is for you to ask whether there are any objections to this. That way we can save ourselves some time on the vote.
Yeah, Myla seemed to object, but okay, so are there any objections? Oh.
Yes, I object.
Okay.
Thank you. I didn't know.
Okay, so John,
point of order, Ruth.
Ruth, go ahead. What's your point of order?
I just wanted to ask Myla what her objection was, if she could state it. Thank you. Since we're voting, thank you.
Okay, Myla, what's your objection?
I just think that the general manager can be succinct, and he doesn't need 10 minutes. I think 5 minutes should be sufficient. We've got a very long meeting, and I don't think we should add more time to the agenda.
Okay, so we're going to have a vote now.
Fred will be recognized.
Go ahead, Fred.
I'd like to note that the general manager's report and discussion is already 25 minutes, 10 minutes for the report and 15 minutes for discussion.
So what we currently have is the 15 minutes of the general manager report and 10 minutes of public comment. And in the moment, we have 5 minutes of the IGM response, which now Bella is asking to move up to 10 minutes. So thank you, Fred. I think we will have to vote on that real quick. So Myla, can I take your hand down, or did you put this up again? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. I do have an amendment to the agenda that will come
back. Let's do this one first. Thank you. So John, can you call the roll, please? And this will be if you vote yes, then you want the time for the IGM response to be extended to 10 minutes. If you vote no, then it stays the way it is now, which is 5 minutes. Thank you.
Yes, this is Roman numeral 3, the IGM response to public comment 1, which is currently 5 minutes. And this is to make it 10 minutes. Grace Aaron.
Abstain.
Christina Avalos.
Abstain.
Jose Benavides. Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Sandy Childs.
No.
Marisol Cruz. Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
George Funmaker. Eric C. Jacobson. Belia Jones. Ali Lexa.
No.
Rob Macon. Barbara Marbach. Oye Oye Yippo.
No.
Myla Recent.
No.
Lawrence Reyes.
Abstain.
I'll come back for the chair. Or Paul Roberson.
He's in Cuba.
Thank you, Bella. Ruth H. Strauss.
No.
Oscar Ulloa.
Abstain.
Polina Vasiliev.
Yes.
Elizabeth von Gunten.
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman.
No.
Carlos Zavala.
No.
Michael Novick. Oh, I'm sorry, not voting. And there were no pass. So the
also,
the yes.
Madam
Chair, how do you vote?
Yes.
Chair, this is Thomas. I'd like to change my vote.
Go ahead, Mr. Reyes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Chair, Oscar Ulloa also requesting to move my vote to yes.
Oscar Ulloa votes yes. Lawrence Reyes votes yes. Is there anyone present who has not cast a vote? All right. The yeses are. The yeses are 6. The noes are. 7, and there are 3 abstentions. So that's yes, 6, okay. No, 7, abstain, 3, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. So that means we will stay with 5 minutes. We basically spent now 5 minutes in determining that we're only going to spend 5 minutes, which means that we could have had 10 minutes hearing from the general manager. But okay, that's where we are. So thank you so much. Now, Myla would like to suggest an amendment to the agenda.
Yeah, I'd like to add a time certain of noon to the agenda.
Uh-huh.
So objection, Bella DeSoto.
Okay. There were 2 objections I heard, right? Lawrence, you also
objected? No, I was seconding it.
Okay. So I guess we also have to make a vote here. So what is a, is there any other suggestions so we can at least vote for 2 different ones? So if it's not 12 o'clock, I personally object as time certain as 1 o'clock as the final. You know, I hope we don't take that long.
Point of order, Madam Chair. I made a motion. It was seconded. I don't think it's proper for you to suggest an alternative. I think we need to vote on the noon adjournment time certain, please.
Yeah. Okay, Myla, I think it's going to waste more time because honestly, I don't think we have any chance to get through this agenda in 2 hours, but we will have a vote then. And before the vote, is there anything you want to say about this, Bella? I see your hand up.
Yes, if the 12 fails, 1 o'clock or 1:30 would be the obvious time for us to consider. Thank you. We have too much to deal with today.
Thank you. So, Grace, do you want to also say anything pertaining to this?
Yeah, I'd like to put forward a substitute motion to have a time certain of 12:30.
Okay, so Bella, you just put your hand up again.
I object. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we will first have to vote then at the 12 o'clock thing. So if you vote yes.
Point of order. The last amendment comes first for a vote. So my substitute motion would have to be voted on first.
Okay. So that
and if it passes, it substitutes for Myla's motion. Yes. And replaces it.
Thank you, Grace. So
Chair, I'll request for information.
What your request for information? Go ahead.
What is Grace's motion? I had to step away.
The motion is to adjourn at 12:30. And so we're going to first vote if we
right.
can take
okay.
this
Thank you, Chair.
At 12:30. So if you vote yes, then you want 12:30 to be the time of adjournment. If you vote no, then you don't agree with the 12:30. So, John, can you call the roll, please?
Madam Chair, I didn't hear. Was there a second that I missed?
There was no second.
Oh, there was no second. Yeah.
Fred seconds.
Okay, Fred seconds. Lawrence, what do you want to say?
Yeah, there's somebody in the Zoom on the phone with my name on it, and I'm not on the phone. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes. Okay, so there is a person that's in your name here on the phone, Lawrence Reyes. I don't know. It's difficult to know who this is, so I don't know how we can. Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, you can simply remove them from the participants, the participant list.
We could put them in the waiting room.
It would be best to take it out.
Yeah, I'm going to remove them now. So if you, whoever this person is, please call in again. We have you down as the wrong name, so please call in again. Thank you. Okay, I just removed.
Point of order.
Okay, what's going on? Yes.
Eric Jacobson has been trying since the meeting began to get in, and he just managed to log on by computer. And I hope that wasn't who you just excluded.
No, because there was somebody with a name, Lawrence Reyes, who was not Lawrence Reyes. So,
okay. What have do you see Eric? And have you could you call on him? So,
Eric. Bella, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late. I had a technical difficulty with my iPhone for the first time. But please mark me present. This is Eric. Thank you.
I'm sorry. There's also someone with a number ending in 5451. Is that a board member on the phone?
No, obviously not.
5451, you're not muted. Is that a board member?
I'll mute them.
Apparently not.
He's muted.
Okay, thank you. So we were actually just going over the substitute motion, which was seconded by Fred. And so now again, we want to go to the vote. So the motion is if you vote yes, then you want the time of 12:30 to adjourn. If you vote no, you don't want that time. John, can you call the roll, please?
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Christina Avalos.
Abstain.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Sandy Childs.
Yes.
Marisol Cruz, not present. Bella DeSoto.
No.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Oye Yippo.
Yes.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Myla Reeson.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
I'll come back for the chair. Ruth H. Strauss.
Ruth, yes, unmute, please. Keep going.
I'll come back. Oscar Ulloa.
Yes.
Paulina Vasiliev.
Abstain.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman.
Yes.
Carlos Zavala.
Yes.
Ruth H. Strauss.
Yes.
Thank you. Ziri Rideau, how do you vote?
Yes.
Are there any members present who did not cast a vote? All right, the yeses are. The noes are 1, and there are 2 abstentions. Yes, 14, no 1, abstain 2, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. That means we have right now a time certain of 12:30, and that means we really have to hurry up. So is the agenda approved now in the way as we have it? Or are there any other amendments? Hearing none.
Bella DeSoto objects, as this has been a political move to truncate the agenda time. Thank you.
Thank you. Your objection is noted. So then we will approve the agenda as is. And then we're going over the excused absences. Okay, I would like to once understand from whoever has these rules right now what the current policies are, because from what I understand, after 3 missed meetings without being excused, then you will be removed from the board. And I would like to, for the record, state that we currently need to go over a motion that Michael Novick had initiated a while ago that we couldn't agree on in the government's committee, and that is being worked on some more to make it very clear who is excused and who will get removed. So currently we're unfortunately not in the possession of this information. So we should go over the excused absences in what we had agreed upon so far before that motion of Michael Novick. And so that was when somebody has 3 unexcused absences, then they would be removed from the board. So are there any excused absences for today?
Madam Chair, point of information.
What's your point of information, Myla?
I believe it's 3 in a row.
Yeah, consecutive.
Three consecutive.
Yeah. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Okay, so thank you, Myla.
Thank you for that. And it's my understanding that Avelia Jones had submitted a letter saying that she would request excused absences while she's caring for her seriously debilitated spouse. So I believe she has asked for an excused absence.
Yes, Avelia was briefly on the call before the meeting began because I opened it early and said she could not stay on and wants an excuse.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So then are there any other excused absences today?
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
No, you're not, because there's Ali and Lawrence in front of you in the row, but are there any other excused absences was my question first.
Yes.
Barbara.
Yes,
was.
From Paul Roberson, Madam Chair. He is in Cuba.
Yes, thank
that's,
you.
Madam Chair, that's not a request. Being in Cuba is not a request for an excuse. That's
he
being in Cuba.
He sent a notice to the governance committee to this effect.
Could we see that, please?
He sent
eventually
an email. Yes. He sent an email to Ziri Rideau and you.
Bella has jumped the stack, Chair.
Bella, you cannot jump the stack. I did not receive this email, by the way. So Ali is first, and then Lawrence, and then Bella, if you still have to say anything about this. Ali, go ahead. Please stick to 90 minutes, seconds. Minutes.
I believe Barbara Marbach submitted a request for an excused absence, but I also wanted to make sure that we're keeping a record of all the unexcused absences. There are several people not here today that have missed at least half the meetings this year, at least 3 consecutively, some of the people that aren't here today. And a few other people that aren't here that haven't submitted a request, it should be recorded that they are absent. They have an unexcused absence. We need to start keeping track of that.
Yes.
We already are.
We are. Thank you very much. Lawrence, your turn.
I just wanted to speak on behalf of Avelia Jones. I know what it is to have somebody, I struggle with medical issues, and she has provided an excuse to the local station board and the PNB. So, and further, Chair, I don't think we should be punitive when it comes to enforcing this policy. I think after the second consecutive absence, I think the chair should reach out to that member and ask them what's happening, what's going on. And then at the third, and then by the third absence, consecutive absence, then this board could consider removing that member.
Madam Chair, may I speak, please?
Go ahead, John.
It's current policy of these board officers to do just what Mr. Reyes suggested. I always have informed members with two consecutive absences that they are in jeopardy. Also, when a person does get three consecutive absences, they are immediately and automatically off the board. The LSB doesn't get to vote on it. Please review the bylaws. It says upon a third absence, they're off the board. Not after a vote, upon the third absence. So I always inform them before the fatal meeting, but if they miss the fatal meeting, at the end of the, when the meeting adjourns, they're off the board, period. There's no discussion, it's automatic.
Thank you. So we have two hands up, one from Bella, one from Grace. Bella, go ahead.
Yes, I was going to state precisely what John P. Gary has just stated. It is bylaw policy. Michael Novick did not write this policy, Ziri. It is bylaws policy. It's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. I never claimed that he wrote this policy. I said he wrote a motion. And so, Grace, go ahead. Bella, yeah, Grace, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, can you write me down? Okay,
thank you. Yes, Grace, go ahead.
Okay, there are some people who have been absent most of the time and have contributed very little to this board. I would suggest not excusing those absences because there are alternates who can replace people if they can't contribute to this board. For instance, the next alternate is Ralph Hawkins, and we know from his excellent work as secretary that he's eager and engaged and capable of being a good board member. So a case in point is I would suggest not excusing Barbara Marbach's absence because she's been absent most of the time and has contributed. She's on no committees that I'm aware of, and she's contributed almost nothing to the survival of this board. So I would suggest voting against an excused absence for Barbara Marbach in particular, and for anyone else who is not actively engaged in board work. Thank you.
Madam Chair, could I provide some clarity on the attendance record, please?
Go ahead, John.
Okay. All the members were present at the October 23rd meeting. All members were present. So jeopardy begins at the November 6th meeting. And there were two members absent from the November meeting, two members absent without excuse. And Barbara Marbach was not one of them, just for the record. She's not currently in any, she was present at the last meeting. So
okay.
So that's how it stands.
Thank you for clarifying this. Michael, your hand is up. Michael?
Yes, I just want to point out that I put the bylaws in the chat, and John is correct. If you miss three consecutive meetings without excuse by the majority of the LSB at the meetings, then you're automatically off the board.
Okay. Thank you very much. So there's two more hands up from Bella and Lawrence. I don't want to spend so much time. It's already 10:40. Can you please keep it extremely short? And then we're going to not take any more questions on this specific item. So Bella, go ahead.
Yes. Can we please vote on them individually as that I had first indicated? This is very serious. And also Rob Makett, I want to know his record. He has missed quite a number of meetings.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, go ahead, John.
Rob Makett was present at the October 23rd meeting. He was absent from the November 6th meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Lawrence, go ahead.
Yes, Chair. I think we could mitigate all of this discussion by voting on the absences, excused or unexcused individually.
Okay, I think we should not spend this time now. I suggest that John makes a list of unexcused absences throughout the year, if that's possible. I don't know how much work this will be for you, John, or if you have time for doing this. And then if there is a motion, for example, that Grace wants to introduce to say, if people are not just in three consecutive meetings absent, but also for a certain amount over the year, that they should no longer be on the LSV. This is another way to handle this, because currently in the rules, there's nothing that says that they should be kicked out for not being on the meeting for a certain amount of members. So Bella and then Myla.
I object, Madam Chair. I object to you.
There was a point of
Myla, Madam Chair, this is
Bella. It's enough now, really. You cannot every time interrupt. So I said there's a point of information from Myla, then you get to talk afterwards, okay?
Oh, I did not hear you. I'm sorry.
Zuri, may I be recognized for my point of information? I'd like to know whether you're suggesting that we make up our own bylaw about removal of delegates rather than follow the bylaws that are in the Pacifica bylaws with respect to removal of delegates. I don't think, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if Grace wants somebody removed for a total amount of absences, no matter if they're consecutive or not, then she should try a motion towards this. This is how we can handle this, because right now there is no rule that says people should be kicked out for having a total amount of absences that are high.
Chair, point of order.
This is Grace with a point of order.
I am on staff.
Grace with a point of order.
I have a point of order before Grace, Chair.
Okay, so Lauren's point of order, then Grace's point of order.
We still have to vote on the excuse or on the excuse absences, Chair.
That's right, we're not even there yet. So Grace, what's your point of order?
Okay, I was not suggesting removing people. I was suggesting not excusing absences for certain people who have been absent for many, 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 most meetings. That's all. Mm-hmm. And the bylaws state that if an LSV member is absent and those absences are not excused for three meetings in a row, they are automatically removed from the LSV. That's in the Pacifica bylaws. So three consecutive unexcused absences results in that member automatically being removed from the LSV.
I totally understand that, Grace. It's just you made the point that Barbara Marbach was not here for most of the year. So this was not even about the consecutive absences. This was about...
No, it was. I was just... Siri, I'm sorry. I was just suggesting that people refrain from excusing her absence. That's all I was asking be done.
Okay, Bella, and then we're going to vote on these individually. Bella, what's your point?
That is precisely what I was going to clarify. We cannot make up bylaws rules. We already have a standing rule in the bylaws. And I am the one that first brought up the issue of dereliction by Barbara Marbach over 2 months ago. All of a sudden, Grace Aaron is being credited with bringing that information forward.
Oh, please.
So that's what's going on. Let's go ahead and vote individually, please. Thank you.
So we have today absent Marisol Cruz, George Funmaker, Rob Macon, Barbara Marbach. These are the four, right?
Madam Chair, we only vote on people who submitted an excused absence request. People who did not submit such an request will simply be listed as absent. We do not vote on whether a person who's not here is absent or absent. We only vote on people who requested. And following that, I haven't seen these requests from Marbach and Roberson. They're kind of mythical to me. If you want to rule that they've submitted absence requests, you can rule that. But I haven't seen these, and I haven't seen them, and I don't think they should be treated as requests until the board officers see them, at least during the course of this meeting. That's my...
Thank you, John. So who is then the excused person for today? Who is the excused absent? It's only Avelia.
Avelia Jones, the IGM, if I may manage it, the IGM verbally related her request, and the others were in the category of someone is out of the country, and the other one was, I believe that somebody requested. And so it's up to the chair and the body if those are adequate. But I consider Jones to be an adequate for myself, Madam Chair. Jones is an adequate request at this point.
Okay, then let's vote on the excused absence of Avelia Jones. And then the others, I suggest, because I have not seen a request for an excused absence, neither for Paul Roberson nor for Barbara Marbach. And everybody was there at the October 16th, I think you said, meeting. So there is no danger right now to be kicked off the board. So let's just only vote on Avelia Jones. And so can you please call the roll then? So if you vote yes, you give Avelia Jones an excuse.
Are there any objections to Avelia?
Are there any objections to excusing her absence? Hearing none, she's excused and we don't have to go through this. This is wonderful. So now we have to get a timekeeper, which is in the future agenda. I would like this right after the roll call, please. So who volunteers to be a timekeeper, please?
Lawrence volunteers, Chair.
Wonderful, thank you, Lawrence. And the time set for adjournment we already discussed is 12:30. The land bank acknowledgement, is there somebody who is willing to read it?
I'm willing to do that, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. Go ahead.
I just want to remind everyone that we are on occupied Tombaugh land. I'd like to also recognize that today is being observed as Transgender Commemoration Day for those people who are relatives who are transgender or LGBTQI. And I also like to have a moment of silence for the murders that happened just today, I believe in Colorado, at the LGBTQI nightclub. So I'd like to have a moment of silence for that. And I also like to recognize that that this time of giving that we give generously, like Native people did when the settlers came to this land and provided sustenance and the such. But we also know that our Native brothers and sisters recognize this time as a time of genocide, as a time of occupation, and as a time of expropriation of their ceremonies. So with that, I'd like to have a moment of silence for those people in Colorado Springs, those relatives who were murdered, who are transgender and LGBTQI. And then I'd like to say all my relations, and that we comport ourselves, as Lydia Ponce would say, as better relatives, as better human beings. And remember, we need to put KPFK in front of our struggle and the Pacific Network in front of whatever we do in these very difficult times. Thank you, Chair. All my relations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we would like to have now the Pacifica mission statement read. Who can do that, please?
Madam Chair, this is Bella, unless someone else wants to read it.
Go ahead, Bella.
I also want to state that Michael Novick and myself just received a text from Paul Roberson that in Cuba, because of the embargo from the United States.
It's out of order.
Excuse me. Yeah, this is out of order because
he cannot communicate with us.
Okay.
He cannot communicate via email.
If he can send you an email, he obviously can communicate with email, but you were supposed to just read the statement.
He sent a text, Madam Chair, not an email. He sent a text.
Sure.
And here is the mission statement.
Okay. Can you please read
the Pacifica mission statement?
Please.
To establish.
Please, Lawrence, be quiet. Bella, go ahead.
The Pacifica mission statement, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any other of any member of the foundation to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved should be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended, in radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities. Someone is making a lot of noise. Activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. This is the Pacifica mission statement.
Thank you, Bella. And I'm glad we're having such a wonderful statement, and I hope we all adhere to it. The next is the fundraising appeal. I wanted to only very briefly speak to, as all of you know, the financial situation is dire. We will hear from this from a little bit more later from the general manager. And I would like to, of course, ask you all to ask your friends and families as much as you can, whatever organizations you know, to help, you know, raise funds for Pacifica. I would like to yield my time for this, actually, to having a little longer silence for the people killed in Colorado, as Myla mentioned in the chat. So can we just please observe at least 15 seconds of silence right now? Thank you.
Chair, I did the best I can. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lawrence. You did great. Thank you.
And my results in the meeting.
Oh, this is the moment to be quiet, please. Thank you. Thank you very much for respecting the people who have passed away. I heard that Mary Sol is in the meeting now, John, if you could please take a note of that. And
yes.
Hi, Mary Sol.
Hello. You need to hear her. Good morning. I'm present.
So thank you. So now we have the next report on previous passed motions. The previous passed motions, is there anybody who can report on those?
Madam Chair, Bella De Soto, may I be recognized?
Go ahead, Bella.
These are the prior motions that were actually postponed, that you suggested to be postponed at the governance committee. Mm-hmm. They have been lingering around for months, and they have to do with committee membership policy and with committee muting policy and video conferencing so that people can see each other and have better communication. Thank you.
Thank you. What's your point of order, Beth?
That's actually not this agenda item. This is a report on previously passed motions, not motions that have not yet been addressed.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That's why I was asking if there are any passed motions that somebody needs to report on. I don't hear anything, so that means we were moving on.
Madam Chair, Bella.
Me, Bella, what is it?
Yes, I have an objection to Beth Van Gutten's motion today that she will be submitting.
She hasn't submitted anything yet. I don't know if she will submit it. Thank you very much. So Let's go to the minutes approval. We have actually to approve three different minutes from 10:16, 10:23, 11:06. They have all been sent to you by John, I understand. Are there any objections to approving the minutes? Hearing none, these minutes are approved. I had sent you an objection about the one, John, for the six, which is just a small thing. That was about when you had written that I had suggested that the building can be sold for KPFK without listener approval. That's not what I stated. I quoted where it's Aaron and the lawyer Arthur Schwartz who have stated that. This is not my personal opinion, so I wanted that removed. This was the one thing. So is there any objection to removing this from the third minutes? Hearing none.
The sixth, from the 6th of November, you mean?
The 6th of November, exactly. So hearing none, can you please change this, John, and then we can approve all the minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. So now we're moving into the part two. We have 25 minutes for this. This is the general manager report and the discussion. Let's start with a manager report, which is 10 minutes, Michael, please. Thank you. Oh, no, 15. Oh, 10. Michael, go ahead.
Thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I did submit it in writing. I'm sorry it got hung up in my outbox, so you might have only gotten it today. I'm not sure. I also posted it to kpfk.org on the LSB page. If you go to KPFK and there's a support KPFK drop down menu and you scroll down to LSB cab, you'll find my report there. So I don't want to go into as much detail as I do in the report, but we did complete a fund drive early in November that was extended from October. We raised about $135,000 in that drive. I do want to thank everyone who donated and the staff for all their hard work in getting that. We have been able to meet payroll as a result. I am working on a business plan for the remainder of the year and for the fiscal year. I'm trying to develop a budget. I have not received financials since the July financials that we all got here at the local station board. But in general, our monthly expenses, including the current payroll, come to about just shy of $100,000. And so we must have off-air revenue in significant amounts because we can't afford to be in fund drive is basically every month to do that, since it took a month to raise about that amount of money. We have been doing several steps. Janine Rohn is the chair of the LSB fundraising committee, is working on an online auction site, and we'll get that up and running. There have been other off-air fundraisers. As I think was mentioned earlier, the Spanish language programmers are working on a December 10th event to raise money. We had a paid webinar with that Margaret Prescott arranged with Gerald Horn, which in addition to the tickets that were sold as part of the fund drive, about $1,000 or more than that was raised at the webinar itself. We have another webinar coming up with the film Vigilante about voter suppression in Georgia with Greg Palast, and that will also be an off-air event where people would pay to access the webinar and a chance to talk with Greg Palast about the film and what's happening in Georgia. He's currently in Georgia, where there's a runoff election, as people may know, in which the question of voter suppression is obviously top of people's minds. We're working on improvements to the programming, and I have asked all the programmers to begin a process of self-evaluation and goal setting. In response, I think people have received the several motions from the Pacific National Board. We have a special meeting, as you know, earlier this month to discuss the one about the sale of the building, but there have been additional motions from
the Pacifica National Board that impact us. One is on underwriting as a source of funds, and I do want to get some guidance from the local station board. It's being left to each station to determine whether and how to do that within the guidelines that the PNB put forward. There was also a PNB motion on programming, which I found very arbitrary and harsh, basically saying all programs must sort of defend their life. That's not the approach I've been taking. I'm trying to, we have been adding some things to the programming grid and bringing back some programming that was on hiatus or left. We got Chris Hedges report back. We're restoring Liberated Sisters and Think Outside the Cage. And I am working on a morning mix magazine with a number of local activists and people who are shaping really the future of the city. So that'll be coming up probably within a week. We're, as Ziri obviously knows, we're working to restore the local evening newscast in place of the Pacific Evening News from KPFA. We would have a evening news program produced here locally covering international, national, state and local news. I'm planning to put out a number of RFPs, requests for proposals for programming, including additional labor programming, children's programming, parenting programming, veterans programming, a number of other areas that I think we could really improve our offerings. And I want to institute a process in which we do that. We publicly request submissions, and then we can have an evaluation of those. And I would work with the staff and the Programming Oversight Committee of the local station board to evaluate some of that, or if there's a program council that people want to try to create, we could do it that way. I am moving to institute a strategic planning committee. I want to incorporate the officers and directors from the local station board and the national board, along with some additional members of the paid and unpaid staff, to really look holistically at the strengths and weaknesses of the station, how we can use our strengths to overcome the weaknesses, which obviously we are under-resourced for the task we're trying to take up. Have instituted a volunteer at kpfk.org email address, and we have some volunteers working to coordinate the volunteers. We'll be putting together a volunteer packet, orientation packet, and intake form. We're starting to get some volunteers. I asked Mark Maxwell to begin a process of training volunteer board operators, and he's completed, I think, the entry aspects of two sessions now. One was a week ago Friday and Monday, and the second was last Wednesday and Friday. After those training sessions, the volunteers would then be have a few sessions working with existing or shadowing, I should say, existing experienced board ops, and then a few sessions supervised by an experienced board op while they do the work under supervision. Eventually we can fill more posts and looking for volunteers to staff the reception desk and answer phones. And in general, I think that we do need to rely more on volunteers and to valorize the volunteer contributions of our existing programmers and producers, most of whom are unpaid like myself. And we do, as I say, we need to increase the off-air fundraising. I'm working with Jim Lafferty of the Lawyers Guild Show. We've drafted a letter. We're getting some signatures on it that would go out to like-minded organizations, civic community organizations, faith-based, progressive faith-based groups, and so on, seeking their support to invite their own members to become members of KPFK as well. We are planning, I had a discussion with the paid staff last week, and we decided to have a mini membership drive in December. It would extend from December 6th to the 20th. That's 15 days, which is certainly better than 31. that will be done the same way the last one was, which is not too much interference with the actual programming. The programmers will be pitching and appealing for support, mostly using their own program and their regular content, and a few short breaks and one longer break with the pitch clock that Mark Maxwell and Ali Lex have developed. And I think that will reduce the drop off we get in listeners during fun drives and hopefully keep people tuned in. I'm trying to work in general on the flow during the day and across the week so that there's more retention. We have looked at some of the Nielsen ratings from a radio research consortium, which show that we do not have a lot of we have a lot of people who listen all the time, but among the people who don't listen all the time, people only listen very briefly, sometimes as little as less than an hour and maybe an hour max. So we want to try to, although we do have a very eclectic programming grid, and I think that's a strength, we have to find ways to create a better flow each day and across the week. So I'm working on what we call quilted strips, where people might thematically not hear the same host each day, but they will hear related issues that make sense in that time frame across the whole week. So I do think that I hope the board will discuss both those motions that came from the Pacific National. Well, actually, there's a third one. I'll rely on the directors to say more about that. It was a motion that they passed in closed session and reported out regarding the question of what to do if they cannot make all the payroll. I will point out at this station, you know, the only paid management person at this point is Stuart Landau, who is the chief engineer and is paid on essentially a part-time basis. And so we have no other paid management. There's no PD, there's no business manager, there's no development director. And I'm unpaid in my position as the interim general manager. And we, you know, are stretching and stressing the existing paid staff, frankly. That's why I'm trying to work on more volunteers. And if you have some people who want to volunteer on the fund drive or to answer phones, that was set up last time. We did have several stations in the what used to be the newsroom that were set up by Terry Guy with phones to take the calls. There is apparently a new problem with the phones. I thought we had it licked, but I got an email from Earl Fari Hutchins and Pedro Baez that yesterday they had tremendous problems trying to answer the calls. They ended up with sort of party lines where several people were on at the same time.
1 minute, Michael.
I'm sorry?
1 minute.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to work on that. I emailed the provider who's put in touch with us through Mo Thomas, and we thought we had the phones fixed. We did it, Terry and D'Angelo and Stuart with the supervision from Don Almella and this company did install new connections for the phones. And for a week or two, we did have the phones working properly to take both pledge calls and listener calls or guests. So we will get that fixed one way or the other. And again, I appreciate all the support I've gotten and, you know, the constructive you know, proposals, a lot of ideas that people have, but the main thing is to how to implement them. And so, as I say, we'll be making some of these changes. You can read the report in its entirety. I do have a special meeting of the all-station meeting, and I have invited the board. We've had two all-station meetings, and I haven't gotten an entire participation of 200 SMOD programmers, so quite a few. I did two reports to the listener in English and one in Spanish, and we'll continue to do that. We had the LSB report to the listener a week or so ago. Those have all been well received, and we did take calls and got quite a few. The first two reports when the phones weren't working, I took comments.
That's time. That's time.
Okay, thank you. It was comments, texts, and responded to them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael, for your report and for all your good work. We very much applaud you and help wherever we can. So now comes the board questions and discussions. We have allocated 15 minutes for this. There's a stack currently starting with Lawrence, then me, and then Grace. If you want to get on the stack, just put your hand up or let me know. Lawrence, go ahead. Please all keep your commentaries to 90 seconds if that's possible.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Michael, for all your hard work. I appreciate it.
There is a collaboration going on with SEIU Local 721 and the station. We are engaged as a member of rank and file, executive board member. We are engaged with the station in developing that relationship. The Spanish language program is event. It's going to be held at SEIU 721 through the generosity of SEIU 721. The fees have been waived in regards to using that space. My question, Michael, is in regards to board ops. I know board ops are an FCC requirement. Would those board ops be certified with the FCC after they are trained? Maybe
Ali could add. We'll work on getting whatever certifications necessary as far as the FCC radio telephone operator license is required. I had one once upon a time, and it's not an onerous requirement, so I have to. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Chair.
And so we can, since there is something, if you need to respond in between, Mike, just go ahead. I have also a question. It's very true what you said before. The phones are not working in the newsroom. We're trying for the news. We're hoping, to be on the air by the end of this month, and we're working. I've been training people for editing, for copy editing, editing audio, research. It's been like quite a journey with we have about like 15 different volunteers, which of course all unpaid, have only time every now and then. So if any of you want to still join the news department, please go ahead. And so the phones in the newsroom do not allow call-ins, which is something we would need. And if there's anybody who has contacts to people who work in phone companies or stuff like this, please, you can contact Michael and help him out to get these fixed. It would be really important to have. I would like to later introduce also a motion, like I said, about a general holiday get together in person. I just generally think we should try to also meet every now and then in person, despite whatever COVID and flu season or so, just so that we finally get to know each other. This is to me very important in, the attempt to get this KPFK family going again. Thank you. Grace, go ahead.
Yes. I believe, if I heard you correctly, Michael, that the expenses, including payroll for KPFK, are roughly $100,000 a month. Now, I know that the fund drive that just ended raised about $135,000. I assume that most of those monies have been completely depleted in meeting the past payroll. So I'd like to know what provisions are being made for meeting the next three payrolls. Because in December, you're just going to have a truncated fund drive, to my knowledge. Are we going to be able to meet payroll for the next three payrolls? And if so, how is that going to be done? If not, what provisions are being made if we can't meet payroll and other expenses?
We are having further discussions with SAG-AFTRA, which I can't go into any detail. We did receive a $50,000 donation from a kind of a trust. It's not a grant, but it's from an individual who, his money is, an irrevocable trust. And they sent money last year and they sent more money this year. We got a $10,000 donation from someone that we reached out to. We've been starting to call donors and do some of that standard, donor stewardship that all nonprofits do. And so there's some pledges of $3,000. We got a few $1,000 donations in that way, and we'll be pursuing that. I do invite more members of the local station board and the staff to get involved. I've put that out several times without much response. So I think that's one of the main ways that we're trying to deal with it. I believe that the ED did say that the payroll will be met over the course of this current period. We're anticipating about $65,000 in revenue from that mini membership drive that I talked about. And we're going to continue to try to raise money offline. As I said, we have that December 4th webinar with Greg Palast and the film Vigilante. We have the December 10th fundraiser with the Spanish language program, as Lawrence mentioned, at no cost, because SEIU is providing the locale and the Spanish language programs are providing the musicians and entertainment and food at no cost to the station. So we do think we have a pretty substantial amount of revenue coming in during the remainder of this month and all of December to cover those expenses. But the larger picture is, as I said, we need to figure out how to raise over $100,000 a month on a regular basis. There's about $12,000 coming in from sustainers and the focus of the on-air membership drive, mini membership drive during December will be to increase the number of sustainers, which has fallen off somewhat. We do have to build that back up. And the more we can get sustaining memberships that come in on a regular basis, the better off we'll be in terms of reducing the number of days. I am committed to trying to cut down on how many, how often and how long we spend in fund drives, because I think over the last several years, it's definitely driven listeners away. And I'm hopeful also that some of the new programming we introduce, I put some of that in the chat as well. We have programming coming in from Healthcare for Us, which is the leading single-payer healthcare organization in Los Angeles. We have programming going to be coming in from Extinction Rebellion, which is a very important environmental activist group. I think some of those things will attract listeners. They bring audiences with them. We will be, we had very successful results with some of the music programming, and we'll be relying on those again. And again, the board here needs to discuss, and we'll also discuss it with the staff and governance, and the board is invited to those all station meetings now to discuss the underwriting proposal and see if any of it makes sense for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Bella, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Michael, once again. I understand that I have heard Mansoor Sabah on air opening up Roy Tuckman's program now several nights, speaking and stating that this KPFK LSB board has been discussing the possibility of selling the KPFK building. He does not explain that this decision is through a resolution from the PMB. It sounds to me like this is the same propaganda that has been going on for many years to disparage the governance system of Pacifica KPFK. And this has gone on for a very long time, which is why some people, anyway, I will not go there, but this has got to be nipped at the bud, because this is starting a public relations war on air, seemingly painting the LSB board again as responsible for the ills of the station and
15
the
seconds, Bella, 15 seconds.
The other thing is that, yes, I sent you also the information to be posted at the front page of KPFK for the December 10th event for the Spanish language programmers, a fundraiser for KPFK. And it should be a great, but it needs a lot of promotion. And in Spanish and English, I send it to you. I hope
time.
That comes up real soon, because tickets need
time,
to be sold.
Bella.
Yeah, tickets need to be sold on air.
So, thank you, Bella. I do support that event. I think the whole station should. Please, I need to have a version that will fit in the banner. It has to be 300
yes,
by 600.
It was sent
okay,
to you
and also please record a cart. In English for the English-speaking audience regarding the December 10th fundraiser. Thank you.
Okay. I did not know that I had to do that myself. I will do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So now we're coming to the public comment. Question to the general manager. Are there any public comments?
Chair, how much time is allocated for that?
Okay, it's 15 minutes. So that
okay.
means 10 minutes for the public comment and then 5 minutes for the IGM response.
Thank you, Chair.
This is George Funmaker. I just wanted to announce my attendance here.
Hi, George. Thank you. So we first have a hand up from Andrew. Andrew, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. Michael, first of all, I want to thank you again for stepping into this position as a unpaid person. I think it's incredible. I listened to both. I want to thank you for resuming the reports to the listener. I listened to the LSB report to the listener with yourself and Ziri, and I thought it was excellent. I was very impressed with the responses by both yourself and Ziri to all the calls, the chair Ziri, Rideau. And then I listened to the general GM report to the listener that you gave. And I was also impressed with their response, especially the listeners coming forward now and calling in, many who have said they haven't called in before. And I heard a general request, and I would support, for more open discussion about what's going on at the station. So would you consider a weekly program, say a half hour, with a discussion with the listeners, with yourself, and other staff members and board members, just about what's going on at the station and take their input and just to open up the communication in general, a weekly, say, half hour show, perhaps rotating staff through to communicate directly with the listeners. Thank you, Michael.
That's time. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. No, Mikey, you want to answer right away? Or do you want to keep a list and stuff and answer later, right? Because we have 5 minutes allocated to you later. So the next is Dr. Thomas Halley, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I give you the Pacific National Board traders all. Two recently passed PNB resolutions related to the sale of the KPFK building and pursuit of commercial sponsorship, along with another motion apparently in the works to arbitrarily extend current members' terms to 3 years. What? These represent violation of the Pacifica Radio bylaws and betrayal of our listener sponsors. In a word, we have been screwed. Now, in this country, we happen to believe in such things as civility and due process, but in a case like this, one almost wonders about the feasibility of the lynching mob. We need to fire these board members immediately. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Thomas Halley. Next is Margaret Iser, please.
First of all, I'm curious that if I've heard that there was already some connection with real estate people about the selling of the building, and I wondered if that had any cost. And if that's so, that's ridiculous, and who would be covering them? And secondly, it was that I think we need to... Oh, my gosh. You know what? I don't remember what I was going to say. So if there's another time for public comments, I really appreciate the openness. I would like to volunteer for some things. And I think that we do need to reach out to other communities. I heard a Chinese program on AM. I listened to another person's program that she puts on an AM, K Mozart. And there's a whole Chinese language group that we could get in. But the main point is keeping the people of us, we the listener, sponsor, members, involved in all the different decisions and follow the bylaws really carefully and contact people to make sure that they know what's going on. We need all the information revealed to us in every possible way. That's always what I ask for. So thank you very much. I will just maybe remember what I had to say before. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. There's a hand up, Colin User 3. Unfortunately, I don't know your name. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jonathan Markowitz.
Jonathan.
Thank you. My question or comment for IGM Michael Novick. Bella just reported that Mansour Sabah is claiming that the local station board, on air, he's claiming that the local station board is behind the impetus to sell the KPFK building. This is extremely serious because it's, first of all, not true. What I would like to recommend is that there's going to have to be a correction on air of this false information. And I believe that Mansoor is going to have to be dealt with in this regard. But most importantly, the listeners have to understand that this decision has been made by the National Board. Final decision.
15 seconds, Jonathan.
It's completely appropriate. Completely appropriate. In fact, it's absolutely necessary that the listeners understand that it is the Pacifica National Board that has taken this decision.
Best time, John.
And that the sale of the station is pending. Regardless of what anybody thinks on this board right now or anybody at the station.
Chair, that's time.
Thank you, John.
So you need to put together a cart. You need to put together a cart.
Honestly, we're all respecting the rules of 90 seconds. Thank you for your comments. So are there any other members who would like to say something right now?
Nancy, come.
Okay, Nancy, go ahead.
Unmute, Nancy.
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I do agree with we got to, people got to be account for sending, you know, disinformation on our airs. And I'm really am glad that the people in this meeting and also the hard work that Michael Novak is doing is very important to save our station and save Pacifica in general. And by the way, Wine On, I will offer to volunteer maybe doing some tabling if it's a place I can get to by bus. So I'll offer some volunteer time.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks very much. Are there any other members of the public who would like to comment or speak? Okay, so I don't hear anything right now. So then we would go, this was now the IGM response to the things that were brought up. Michael, do you want to?
Yeah, briefly, we are interested in the people who can help with tabling. The bike talk will be coming on our airways, and they're going to be tabling for the station at the Ciclo Villa, South LA. I think that's the first weekend in December. We were too late to really get a full fiscal media sponsorship by the station, but we will be resuming those. If people have citations, please send them to me either at gm@kpfk.org or comments@kpfk.org. I cannot listen to everything that goes out over our airwaves. It's physically impossible. So if you caught something that you think was inappropriate, please just send the citation. We'll check it on the archives, and if there are problems, we'll correct them. I trying to deal with getting some fresh programming on, you realize how little give there is in the current grid. I'm not trying to do what the PNB motion suggested. I'm looking for places and spaces to get additional programming on without totally disrupting what we have. And I'll consider the idea of a half-hour program discussing the station, but it's not currently in the works. Honestly, I have a lot more content that, given what's going on in the world, that we need to address. And I think that as we address that, it will improve what happens at the station. So I put in the chat, but not everybody can read the chat, where we're getting a program developed by XR, Extinction Rebellion, a program from Healthcare for Us, which is the leading a single payer organization in Southern California. We're getting programming from, many groups that are solving problems in society and locally. And I think that as people get a sense of that we are a place to go to find out really what's being done about the issues, we're going to attract more listeners. And so the GM reports to listen will continue on a monthly basis, and I think probably we'll do the LSB report also monthly. The mandate is every other month, but I think that was because KPFA LSB only meets every other month. But I think that there's plenty that the LSB can discuss. I did, on my reports, specify that it was the National Board, and it's in the written report as well, which is, as I say, up on the website. That's about it, I think. Thank you.
Thank you. Sasha Karlik, I see your hand up. This is actually in regards to earlier, probably when there was a public comment section, since there were so few people from the public, I would say just please speak for 90 seconds if you're ready.
Okay, I'd rather have 90 minutes, but I'll try to.
Sorry.
And so, you know, this is, it's really kind of dumbfounding to spend the time listening to this horrible, like, bunch of cat fight in an alley kind of situation. And this is not just for this meeting. This is the perpetual situation. And so that's a general complaint. Okay, done with that part. There's just so much. 90 seconds is not enough to even address anything. It's barely enough to collect a couple of thoughts together. I see that, you know, besides we needing to shorten fund drives and raise more money, of course, absolutely more listenership is what we need. We need to make the radio more listenable. We need to have good radio. We need to have multimedia. We should have video cameras to be, all you have to do is flip the switch if you want to be on camera. And we should have some shows which should absolutely be on video stream that could be watched via YouTube or something like that all the time on certain shows. And certain shows, definitely we shouldn't have them video, but it should be available on certain things. And we should be able to accept video stream, live streaming from people out in the field. Even if you just have a good camera, put it in, you know, to the stream, to the KPFK account or whatever. And if it passes muster, you know, we can say, hey, it goes right to our website. You know, it comes to a live feed on our front page even. So it would be like live news coverage if there's something that's newsworthy, breaking news, whatever. Okay, that's one thing. Another thing is we should open the phones to listeners daily, like half the time, like every other hour, like not maybe not to spend the whole hour talking, but we should have, say request periods, like say, hey, if you have a show that you really like or some segment that you heard like late at night or any time of the day, just like vote. If you're a member, you can vote. You could vote 10 times a day for shows that you like, and we could just have somebody who kind of manages to see what's the popular response, who's listening, what's in demand. And sometimes the most interesting radio is when somebody who cares, who like Michael Novick, comes on the air and talks about what's going on, like a report to the listener. But something should be really interactive, like, it's captivating when you hear live broadcast that's not a script, that it's a conversation with two or more people on the air and then inviting people to call in and offer their suggestions, their feedback. As far
okay,
as I'm
that's concerned, fine.
I could spend all day listening to radio that's live, that's important, that's pertinent. And I don't want to spend another minute the rest of my life listening to 2-3-4-year-old pitching, you know, snake oil.
That's time, Chair.
Donate for some snake oil, okay? So I hope you can get my point. Thank you.
Got your point. Thank you so much. So before we move on to the next item, which will be the PNB Director's Report, I would like
I'm sorry. Can I just respond briefly? In the last fund drive, we had no consultants and we had no big ticket item, premiums that we were offering. And we did at least as well, or not better than any of the previous ones where we had to cover those expenses. So we'll be continuing going forward, again, without consultants and without those kind of big ticket premiums that, you know, didn't really pay for themselves. Thank you.
Very much. So before, again, we go to the PNB director's report, there are two issues I would like to bring up. One was that Paul Robertson is supposedly in Cuba, and there is I don't know, what he cannot communicate. So I would
cannot hear you, Ziri.
What?
Yeah, you were breaking up.
Okay, I mean, so I would like to suggest that we talk one more time about the excused absence for Paul Robertson, since he is obviously in a place where there is some kind of politically motivated blockade of communication. So I would like to have a vote if we excuse his absence. So are there any objections to that?
I object.
Okay.
Completely out of order.
What's out of order? Who's this?
Jump! You're changing the agenda. You're bringing up an earlier item.
Alexa.
Lexa, there was in the middle of our meeting another piece of information revealed. So where Bella said she has gotten this information, since we are a political station that prides ourselves of actually fighting against oppression, I would at least to suggest that we can communicate in this way. So is there any, there was one objection. Does this mean we have to vote if we can even?
Yes, you have to vote, Chair.
Oh my God. Yeah, we have so little time. This is just really sad.
Orders of the day.
Yes, orders of the day. This is something where it comes up later, where information is revealed later. I think this is something we should be able to do.
No.
No.
We have an agenda.
You're changing the agenda, Madam Chair. I object to the change in the agenda.
Yes, I'm suggesting you change the agenda for an urgent matter. So are there two objections?
It's a prerogative of the chair. The body has to either affirm or reject.
So you want to say something about that?
I also got the text.
Can you put this text into the chat, please? And Marisol, do you have something to say about this topic?
It was more of a public comment to ask for a minute of silence for my good friend Josefa Salinas, a radio personality who just recently passed away. I've just come to learn of her passing, and she is quite a figure in the world of radio.
Okay.
I was just, don't know if it's this is a good time, but would like to ask for a minute of silence.
We didn't even have a minute of silence for the other people. Can we have like 15 seconds of silence, please, to recognize?
Thank you.
Thank you, Marisol. Thank you, everybody. So I would suggest we vote if we can vote on the excused absence of Paul Roberson. So,
point of order.
Yes, what's your point of order?
This really isn't on the agenda. It really is a total diversion from what we were in the middle of. And I would propose instead that we take this up the next time this body meets and addresses excused absences, so that it'll fall at the right place on the calendar when we're considering all the other absences, excused or not, in that context, and it would preserve and respect the agenda we agreed to today.
Okay. Madam Chair, this
second
is
that.
Bella.
Second that.
John P. Gary has his hand up.
Yes. You don't have to come to Gary, excuse me, can you all please be quiet? We want to have a civilized meeting. So first John is going to speak, then Lawrence, and then Bella. John, go ahead.
Yes, it's my policy that an excused absence request is valid if it's submitted before the meeting or during the meeting. So I suggested it was my suggestion that we take this up so that Roberson could be, so we could have an agreement on it before the end of the meeting. But if the board he'll be listed as absent. I have to make a record. And if you neglect to take this up at the next meeting, he'll still be absent. So just be advised. When this meeting ends, he's absent. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, Bella. It's not your turn now. It's Lawrence and then you. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I received that very same text that others have received, that Paul Roberson is in a country where there's an economic blockade and a technological blockade against him. So he cannot communicate via email, but he did send in this huge absence. And I believe it's a prerogative of the chair to alter the agenda in an emergency circumstance such as this one. Unfortunately, the chair, you need the 2/3 vote to alter the agenda. So I support you, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. Bella, what do you want to say?
Madam Chair, this should have been taken up immediately when I spoke about this and not dragged out until now, but please take the vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. I actually feel that what Beth said is correct, that we have to first talk about the general policy of the excused absences. And since we will next time spend some time on this anyway, I think it would be a better time to address this then, since we're also very short on time. So that means...
Madam Chair?
Oh, no, Bella, no, I'm not
minutes.
Recognizing
the minutes,
right now.
The minutes will reflect...
Bella, this is a warning. This is a warning, the first warning for you. After three warnings, you cannot call on anymore, okay? You have to respect that we talk after each other, not all over each other. So, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Very briefly, I recognize the dilemma presented by the minutes, but I point out that minutes can always be amended in the future to reflect, to be corrected. Once we have our policy in place. So we can take it all up at one time at the next meeting. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, Beth. Is it also that he is in no way in any danger of losing his seats? Okay, so this is not anything make or break right now. So we're returning back to the other agenda then. So the next part is the PMB director's report and discussion. So Evelia Jones has 4 minutes, but I understand she's not present right now. Is that correct?
But she's not present, Chair.
So,
I'd like to give my report. That's okay, Chair.
Not yet.
I thought I was next.
Excuse me. Ali is next, then Lawrence, then Beth. So, Ali, go ahead.
Okay, I emailed this to the board before the meeting. During the previous month, the PNB has been meeting weekly every Thursday and will continue to do so until the end of the year, with the exception of holidays, to deal with the financial crisis at Pacifica. Some of the recent motions passed include a motion on programming, which basically states that all programs must reapply annually. This basically means that all shows will need to do a self-evaluation and meet with the PDs and or GMs to discuss their programs. The motion also asks programs to work to increase their audiences and fundraising revenues. Another motion on restricted underwriting. This is a pilot program which has finally been passed to open up the possibility of accepting underwriting and sponsorships for stations around the network. We have had a very successful sponsorship program created by Magula Peak at KPFK, which has brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years, often just for airing a few promos and posting some banners. They were all non-controversial vendors and nonprofits such as the Music Center, UCLA Center for the Art of Performance, Ford Theaters, and others. We also often benefited by tickets that were offered as premiums from these partners. Part of the motion specifies, and this is dealing with underwriting, as a matter of policy, stations will not accept financial support from any entity whose business practices conflict with our mission statement and programming. For example, no agreement shall be entered into any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, supports fossil fuels, supports Wall Street, supports nuclear technology, supports big tech's invasion of our privacy, promotes racism or sexism, militarism, nationalism, or xenophobia, or supports the abridgment of the rights of women to control their own bodies, or the rights of the LGBTQ community for full equality, or any rights of immigrants. The PNB also passed a motion authorizing the ED to defer payroll for paid staff across the network if needed, should there be a shortfall in making payroll. This is a temporary motion, and hopefully we will not need to act upon this. Another motion that was passed, which came out of the National Programming Committee, encourages all non-Music Pacifica shows with a podcast to list their programs on popular podcast portals such as iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, et cetera. This is an effort to grow and expand the audiences of Pacifica programming far beyond the reach of the radio signal area. This is similar to the work I did at KPFK, where I helped list over 120 of our programs on these portals. We are starting to see the positive results as we are seeing subscribers from across the country and around the world discover some of these programs. I also created a simple how-to guide for programmers to get their podcast listed with 7 of the major portals and distributed it. I distributed the how-to list to the PNB. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Ali. Then comes the next report from Lawrence, please.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, fellow board members. I did submit my report in writing. I did not support any of the motions that were passed at the PNB. I believe the PNB is in consistent breach of the bylaws,
and in constant violation of actions taken that I would say are in direct contradiction of our mission and stated bylaws, with decisions that indicate desperate measures without taking into account the entire Pacifica Network family and our programs. Let me spell out what I mean by when I say family. I mean the entire Pacifica Network, our principals, our listeners, our paid and unpaid workers, volunteers that air and produce our programming. Now, the motion that was referred recently in regards to programming, the whole motion states, and let me just read some of the highlights because I think it's very important for you to know and for you to reference, is that all programs are going to be rendered temporary. That's something that was not mentioned when my colleague provided his report. So the programs have to reapply after a year, but they are going to be rendered temporary and they are likely to be taken off the air if for some reason in some of the unintended consequences and some of the comments that were not mentioned is that they're going to be measured by the amount of money, revenue that they bring in. And then the motion on underwriting, I voted against it because I believe that it did not consult with management and the staff directly. And then in regards to the shortfall, that motion is included in my report. I'm happy to see that people are being more candid after I submitted my report to report on what's really happening at the network. We are likely to have a shortfall in payroll because we are definitely slugging along in regards to meeting payrolls throughout the network. So I advocated that we chop from the top as a union member. If you chop from the top, that means that you cut from the very top. And then the motion does mention that if revenue falls short, and I could report out that because we got permission to report this out publicly, that that health benefits for all staff for the month ending in the pay period will be, if it's able to be paid, union represented employees will receive compensation first, non-union, non-management employee compensation, PAN and PIA direct management compensation, other managers, ED, are last, if we happen to have that shortfall, which is highly likely because right now we are having difficult time in meeting payroll and we have an extreme amount of unpayables, over millions of dollars. So it's going to be difficult to meet our obligations. And I really want you to read carefully the motion on programming that was submitted by two directors and was passed. And I believe it's heavy-handed. I believe it was made without consultation of staff, management at the stations. And that's why I voted against it. And I intend to raise a point of order at the Pacifica National Board December 1st meeting in regards to this particular motion. So I'm hoping that our secretary is able to post my report and maybe put it in the chat. I'll put it in the chat so people can get it. Thank you, Chair. That's it.
Thank you very much, Lawrence. Beth, what about your report?
Thank you. Yeah, I had to flip to the mute button, and now I'm back to the report. Pacifica continues to struggle financially, but contrary to recent comment, is far from supposed financial collapse. Pacifica holds assets worth an estimated $110 million, compared to which its cumulative debt of just over $5 million is relatively modest. The problem is that almost all Pacifica's value is tied up in its real estate and signals, functional assets used in service of the mission, rather than held as investments, leaving very little liquidity with which to manage day-to-day cash flow. Pacifica's expenses have exceeded its revenue for a number of years now, without significant course correction, a practice which is ultimately self-limiting once the money runs out. We are near that point. In recent years, Pacifica has made steady efforts to reduce expenses. That's useful, but it's only half the necessary equation. As long as expenses exceed revenue, Pacifica's deficit continues to deplete its limited resources. Excuse me. The other half of the equation is revenue, which Pacifica has woefully failed to address. Without sufficient revenue to cover the cost of operation, the only way to continue day-to-day is either to go further into debt or to cash out a capital asset. Neither prospect has much to recommend it. The prospect of further debt, even simply for debt consolidation, is limited in these times of escalating interest rates, and it would be unwise to take on additional debt without a viable business plan to reverse Pacifica's long-standing deficit spending, to address the serious lack of revenue, and to pay down all debt over time. Liquidating a capital asset to cover the cost of both past and ongoing excess operational expenses is seriously frowned upon in the business world for good reason, especially cashing out a functional asset relied on to service the mission, especially with no plan at all in place to turn the tide. Yet that's what Pacifica now proposes, to sell the KPFK property to pay down past Pacifica debt and fund ongoing network-wide excess operational expenses with no business plan in place to reverse its fortunes, or for that matter, any business plan at all. Before or after leaving KPFK, the Pacifica National Archive, and the Pacifica National Office to an unknown, uncertain, and defunded future. As a director, I continue to seek other options. I believe KPFK would benefit from a history of its presence at its current site. I'm trying to piece together such one. I understand that the station operated out of an earlier building on the same site before the current building was custom built for KPFK in 1970. Who is familiar with that history? I would like to ask anyone with a knowledge of KPFK's earlier tenure at the present site, please to be in touch with me at email address naturalperson@icloud.com. Many thanks for Pacifica. Beth Van Gunten.
Thank you, Beth. Okay, so we have heard from our directors. Now we have a board discussion and questions. It's about 9 minutes. If you please all stick to the 90 seconds. We have a hand up from currently Bella, Myla, myself, and anybody else who needs to get in the stack. Bella, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so Ali Lex said, this is going to him. You have missed many meetings of this LSB over the last 2 years. First, nobody knows how much money Canto Tropical raised. No one seems to know that it's a mystery. Then I want to ask you, Mr. Ali Lexa, you and Avelia Jones and Beth Van Gunten all voted on October 20th of this year at the PMB to not replace the expired delegates across the network at 12:31:22 of the expired delegates of the LSB, so that your position, for instance, could be extended 3 more years. I find this to be a violation. You also voted to prevent a national effort to raise strict funds to have an election, hold an election this year. Then on 10/27, you and Avelia Jones voted, our two directors voted sell our building. I would like for you to be held to account.
15
and this
seconds.
happens to be your first report that I can recall written. It was not even an attachment. It was included as a response to John P. Gary. Thank you very much. This is I'm just astounded that you as a director of our board and Avelia Jones and Bez Van Gutten voted to not replace the expired delegates at the year-end, to allow to be replaced by the standby list. And then you and Avelia Jones voted on the 27th to sell our building. Thank you.
Thank you. Myla, go ahead.
Thanks, Siri. I just want to correct the record. Lawrence, I think you may have seen my reply to your report, but it's been often repeated that New Day Pacifica initiated the lawsuit that is currently being heard before the court. It will be heard on December 2nd. And once again, you said that New Day had sued Pacifica when in fact.
How is this relevant Pacifica, for what we're talking about right now?
It's relevant because.
May I speak,
please? In Lawrence's report, he stated that New Day Pacifica had sued Pacifica when the reverse is true. It was Pacifica that sued New Day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May I respond?
Okay, respond, Lawrence.
Mala is correct. New Day did not initiate the lawsuit. We defended ourselves by going to court because New Day was sending out emails soliciting funds in their emails to sue Pacifica. So I do stand corrected. That was a misstatement on my part. Mala, thank you for bringing it to my attention. But we did defend ourselves in court because New Day was soliciting funds to sue the network. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Jonathan, go ahead. Jonathan Markowitz? You have to unmute?
I thought it was first board members, Chair.
I'm sorry?
We are board members.
I thought you were taking questions from board members first.
I saw him there, so I thought. Okay, so then I would like to say something also. I have also a question for Ali Lexa and actually for Avelia Jones, who of course is not there. I would like to understand why they voted in the PNB for selling this building. This is really something that should have been taken up first here with the LSB. I feel they failed to inform us that this was an actual immediate thought. And then second, my question to both of them would also be exactly what Bella asked. So how come they voted against, they basically have a conflict of interest, in my opinion, since they voted along their own time that has been expired. And so this is something that I feel is not right. And I do feel the PNB is in violation of what they're doing right now.
You want me to respond?
Yes, Ali, go ahead.
I never voted to sell the building. Whoever told you that either breached confidentiality or is giving out misinformation. I absolutely did not vote to sell the building. It's complete bullshit, and I'm offended by these attacks.
Okay.
I don't know if there was some kind of breach or something like that that happened in closed session, but I'll tell you right now, because we're allowed to say how we voted. We are not allowed to say how others voted. So if somebody told this board or other people how other people on the PNB voted in closed session, they breached confidentiality. But I will tell you right now that I did not vote to sell the building, okay? Secondly, someone asked about money raised from Canto Tropical. I don't know that. Ask Hector Resendez or Terry Guy. There was no motion passed to extend anyone's seat for 3 years. There was a motion to have people stay on for one more year until an election can happen. As far as my attendance, I've missed a few meetings for legitimate reasons, but I always submitted a legitimate request for an excused absence. You know, I'm here, I'm giving a report. I've given reports many times. They're not always written. I apologize for that. But I'm sick of being attacked when I'm trying to do work for the good of the network.
Chair, may I speak to the veterans?
Can I actually, first, since this was my question first, so we could see the records of how it was voted, and only two people voted against the sale of the building, and you were not among them. So this means you were not against selling the building. This was my point. So now let's have.
That's not true.
Wait, so you say you voted against selling the building? Is this what you said?
I'm saying I abstained. I stayed out of it. Okay? I didn't vote for it. So don't, anyone that says I voted for it is lying and misrepresenting me.
Well,
Chair, may I address the Veterans Committee?
Okay, so you can go ahead, Lauren.
I submitted a replacement motion to rescind the motion that was passed, extending the terms of those people who are termed out for 6 years. The 3 year rule, Ali is correct on that. But I did not receive the support of my colleagues when it came to replacing that motion because I believe that it violated the bylaws, and I was not supported in that regards. So those people who are termed out after 6 years do have an opportunity to continue. So that's the thrust of the resolution that we are right now mandated to carry out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So we're going to take the board member, that's still Eric, and then we're going to the public comment. So Eric, go ahead, and Bella also later. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add to further response to Myla's assertion that Pacifica initiated the lawsuit in regard to the New Day referendum. That was a practical necessity for the following reasons, which were discussed in real time. The New Day Pacifica group stated in email and or direct correspondence that the issues of the outcome of the New Day referendum were quote unquote ripe for litigation, or words to that exact effect. And at that point, it became a practical necessity for Arthur Schwartz to take the initiative and file what is known as a declaratory relief lawsuit, where you ask the judge to rule on the competing claims of disputing parties. And another very important practical reason for doing that was that there is a history of Pacifica within Pacifica attempting to start litigation in the wrong venue, Alameda County, which is known to be friendlier to the New Day contingent in the KPFA listener area. So it was thought that was the wrong venue. The proper venue is Los Angeles County Superior Court. And Arthur took the initiative, to his credit, to get the lawsuit started there. And that's how that came about.
Thank you.
But if it hadn't been for the threats of New Day, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. The PNB did authorize Arthur to file that lawsuit.
Yes, thank you. So we have now from the board still Bella, Myla, and Michael, and then we're going to public session, okay? So Bella, go ahead. Please, everybody stick to 90 seconds. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry, but I would like to interject here that we will not be having enough time to finish our agenda today. And it's already 12:07. I move to extend by 15 minutes.
Second.
Yes, no, the body has to second.
I second, Chair.
Okay, so then we
thank you.
No minutes, but so thank you. No, Myla, go ahead.
It has to be voted.
I did not finish, please. And I do not accept what I heard from Ali Lexa regarding the fact that there was a bridge closed session, because I downloaded all the audio recordings, and the 11:20 general assembly agenda. There have been no minutes or agenda, no minutes for 10:20 and no minutes posted either for 10:27 of the PMB. Meaning that whatever is happening, at the PMB, the public has no clue, nor does any LSB. And I object to this motion to extend another year for people that are causing the foundation so much harm. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have to vote now before we take the other calls for the extension. So
there was no objection, Madam Chair.
Was there not? Okay, I thought I heard one.
I object.
Oh.
So so we will have to make our vote now if we can extend for 15 minutes. So if you say yes, if you vote yes, then you want to extend 15 minutes. And let's do this quickly, so otherwise this costs us 15 minutes.
Chair, request for information real quick. 15 minutes added to time certain, right?
12:30, yeah. So that makes it 12:45. Okay.
This
so,
takes a two-thirds
vote. Point of exactly. Thank you.
Sorry, what?
Takes this a two-thirds vote.
I still don't understand what you're saying.
Two-thirds of the body needs to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, two-thirds. Okay, so John, you want to call the roll?
Grace Aaron.
No.
Christina Avalos.
Abstain.
Jose Benavidez.
Abstain.
Fred Blair.
No.
Sandy Childs.
Abstain.
Marisol Cruz.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
George Funmaker.
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
No.
Oye Oyeyipo.
Yes.
Myla Reason.
No.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
I'll come back for the chair. Ruth H. Strauss.
Yes.
Oscar Ulloa.
Yes.
Polina Vasiliev.
Yes.
Elizabeth von Gunten.
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman.
No.
Carlos Zavala.
Abstain.
Okay. Madam Chair, how do you vote?
I vote to yes. I vote yes.
Okay. The yeses are yeses are 11. The noes are 5. And there were 4 abstentions, Madam Chair.
Okay. But it doesn't make a two-thirds, or does it?
Is it two-thirds of the board, or two-thirds present, or two-thirds?
Two-thirds
of the
present, I believe, Chair.
That means it's approved then?
Yes.
Okay. And, all right, so that means we have an extension and we'll continue till 12:45. Thank you. So,
information.
I'm sorry, what's your point of information?
Did two-thirds of those present, counting the abstentions, vote?
Yes, Madam Chair, the vote was yeses were 11, noes were 5.
And abstentions?
4.
You don't count abstentions.
So that's not two-thirds.
Abstentions don't count.
Isn't it two-thirds of those present?
Present and voting.
Oh, bullshit.
Who was that?
That was Harvey.
No, that was
Harvey.
Ralph Hawkins.
Shut up.
Oh, Ralph Hawkins. I thought it was Harvey. Sorry, Harvey.
All right. So we're going to, this means we have a two-third, and it means we have to go to 12:45. So let's go to the next point now. So we have heard from, the next one will be Michael, and then we go to, and then Elizabeth, like Beth, and then we go to public comment. So Michael, go ahead. Please.
Beth is, Madam Chair, Beth is board.
Please, let the chair run the meeting.
Yeah, so Beth is on the board, exactly. That's what I said. First Michael and Beth, and then the public.
But Michael is not a board member.
Excuse me, I am an ex officio member of the board, non-voting. Yes. Please let the chair the meeting, Bella.
Thank you, Michael. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to comment briefly on the motion that was mentioned by the PNB in a couple of reports. The motion, if you read it carefully, says that the terms will be extended of those seated on the board in December because we're not able for financial reasons to have the election that was scheduled this year. The members of the board that term out will not be seated in December. There's a six-year maximum term limit, a personal individual term limit. There are three members of this board who were elected in December and seated in December 6 years ago, who will not be seated, therefore, on the board in December. That's a de facto reduction in the size of the board, which is also a violation of the bylaws. I would urge those three members to resign their seats prior to the December meeting, after this meeting, so that they can be replaced by the runners-up. The staff runner-up is John Crumshaw, and the listener runners-up, the next two are Ralph Hawkins, who was mentioned earlier, and Janine Roan, both of whom have served this board well. John was a previous member, I think even a chair. That would solve the problem. It would maintain the ratio of staff and listener members on the board and the size of the board at 24 is mandated by the bylaws. There is no way to extend the terms of people who have served the six-year term limit. It's very, very clear in the bylaws. They will not be on the board in December for the extension. So they should resign prior to that meeting. They can be replaced by individuals who are not facing that six-year term limit, and those people can continue on the board. Thank you.
Michael.
I have my hand up too, Chair.
Yes, okay, but first Beth, and then you. Beth, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to explain that the National Recording Secretary, Marianne Edain, recently resigned because Pacifica has not been able to pay her since July. And therefore, we don't have a recording secretary at this point. And as a consequence, providing the minutes publicly has been delayed. And it's we're relying on meeting by meeting on volunteers to do that and looking for a longer term, more experienced volunteer to take on the whole task. But until then, we appreciate your forbearance. Thank you.
Now it's Lawrence, and then we go to public comment. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. The pickle about the breach of the bylaws in regards to the election is that if people don't do what Michael suggested, resign before the December meeting, then the board will be automatically reduced because that's what the resolution says, which is another violation of the bylaws. I made a point of order. It was not supported by my colleagues. The fourth position is that if those members don't resign, then it's up to the LSV to take a vote to either remove those members and vote to appoint other members. That's in the bylaws. That does give us that provision that we will have to consider taking that on. I do encourage what Michael just encouraged. This way, we can have continuity and not have a reduced board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. We're now going to the public comments. So we have a few hands up first, then Mansour, then Raymond and Jonathan. And please mute yourself if you're not speaking. Tim, go ahead.
90 seconds, you're on the clock.
Yes, everybody.
Hi, everyone. So first of all, two-thirds of the people who were there, you needed 13 votes in order to extend that time. That's what you needed. You did not get two-thirds. Second of all, I would like to ask Beth, I asked at the Wednesday's finance meeting, where are the August financials? And I also sent an email to the MFC before their Tuesday meeting about where are the August financials. So I would appreciate getting a response to that and getting it to KPFK and to the GM and the Finance Committee. I have reported on what Conjo Tropical made several times. I don't remember what it is now, something around $6,000, but it has been reported on, and Bella keeps saying that it hasn't been reported on. You know, people are talking about a strategic plan. Well, the Strategic Planning Committee has done nothing for about 5 years. Although they've been meeting, the most they've come up with is their underwriting little motion that y'all have. And so I would really recommend that some of these committees either do what they're supposed to do or give it up.
15 seconds, Kim.
How much?
15.
I don't understand why everybody's so shocked at the sale of the building. I mean, I've been reporting for, if not this year, years, that you have to pay attention to the financials. And this leaking confidential information about votes is pretty vile, because the people who took those votes can't really respond. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Mansoor, you're up next. 90 seconds, please.
Hi. Yes, hi. I want to, my name came up with some of the people attending the meeting. I think, unfortunately, KPFK and Pacifica listeners are getting old and hard of hearing. So let me tell you what I have said on the air. And this is the exact text of it. Last week, on Thursday at 1 p.m., the KPFK LSB reported on the air that KPFK's building is being considered and evaluated for sale to pay off the two loans Pacifica owes. There was no mention of any plans and who and how the money would be handled. But most importantly, there was no mention that membership at KPFK and Pacifica will have a voice and a vote on the sale of the buildings, as it is in Pacifica's bylaws, that sale of any major assets of Pacifica must be approved by its dues-paying members. The building was donated to KPFK.
15 seconds, Mansoor.
Do you mind not to interrupt? The building was donated to KPFK by Sparks family in 1970s. I don't think I took 90 seconds to read. Thank you.
Thank you, Mansoor. Next is Goldman, Raymond Goldstone, please.
Thank you. I am appalled at the meeting. The assertions made by Ms. DeSoto against the rules of confidentiality and the rules of civility are beyond the pale, period. KPFK and Pacifica are failing. KPFK used to be my station, my go-to station, for music. Not anymore. I'm tired of this constant uncivil exchange based on faction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raymond. Jonathan, go ahead. Mr. Markowitz, you have to unmute. Hello? We don't hear anything.
I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. My recommendation to Mansoor Savak is to transcribe the actual statement that he made on air, if he is claiming that there was incorrect claim about what he said on air regarding the possible sale or the decision to sell the building. I just want to correct Mansoor right now that the decision to sell the building was taken by the National Board, not the KPFK LSB. Regarding due process at Pacifica, what we've had here for years is the National Board getting away with not posting audio recordings of National Board meetings. This is required under California Corporate Code and required by the bylaws. So if you go back in the archives, most of the National Board, many of the National Board meetings, I have not done a percentage count.
15 seconds, Jonathan.
Last Thursday's meeting, and also the last Thursday's meeting where the underwriting was discussed, has still not been posted, the audio. This is unacceptable. This is illegal. And this is why you're all not informed, because nobody has listened to the National Board meetings. And I'm requesting, Lawrence, Beth, for you to respond right now why you did not ensure that those audios were posted to the to KPFTX from last Thursday's meeting. They're still not posted. Why is the chair not posting the audio of this meeting that all of these board members now have still not heard? Thank you. I need a response from the board member, national board members, to my point and question here.
Yes, okay, you. I will respond if you want me to. I'd rather hear from the public first.
I would like to hear
Madam Chair, may I respond because my name was mentioned again by Jonathan for a few seconds?
Okay, I'm not sure.
Sure. All I said that KPFK's LSB reported, I did not say that KPFK has said it's going to, as a matter of fact, you reported that the building was for sale. And just one thing for Lawrence, you got to stop messing with the times. I only read 1 minute of stuff, not 90 seconds. So shame on you, Lawrence, for doing that.
Shame
Thank
on you.
You
stop, please. Can you excuse us? This is, can't go on. So Lawrence, can you please respond now to Jonathan?
Yeah, Jonathan, it is not up to the PNB chair. She submits it, Otis, I believe. The secretary submits it to Otis, and Otis has to post it. I try to do the best I can to make sure that things are reported out and posted. That's all I can say.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. So the next one is a listener has the last four digits, 1438. Please unmute and go ahead. We have 90 seconds. Hello, can you hear us?
Yes.
You unmuted and then you muted again. So,
yes, my name is Nancy.
Hi.
1414, what is it?
Go ahead.
Anyway, okay. Yes, the PMB last Thursday, last Thursday, voted an outrageous vote motion that I think you're aware of that. The programming has to, all these programs have to make 25% in growth revenues within a few months. Otherwise, they must apply for having a show or continuing. And there is no, like, we're going to help or how we're going to help programmers to make that big jump. There was no, even three out of the five stations don't even have a programming committee to help them or help promote or help in increase their ability of their show. So it's really horrific to insult volunteer programmers like that without. So I really think you should consider that insult. And also in procedure, the Article 4, Section 9 requires you to vote at the meeting in question, whether to excuse or not to excuse. So you need to do this today. It has to be done by the same configuration. Anyway, it's an article. I sent it by email to all of you. Section 9.
Nancy. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nancy.
I'm finished.
Thank you. So next is Ralph. Then comes Margot, Sasha, Dr. Haley, and Andrew. So Ralph, go ahead. Can you unmute me? Thank you.
Okay, this is a personal note. Somebody earlier, I'm looking forward to serving on the board sooner or later. But earlier in the meeting, somebody said the word BS, and Bella DeSoto called out my name, and I haven't spoken at all. And I don't appreciate her lying about me like that. That I demand an apology. Also, in one of the last two governance committee meeting minutes, she wrote that I had resigned from the governance committee. And that's untrue. I never said any such thing. And I sent her an email and she denied it, saying, you know, it's somewhere in the transcript. You know, I was secretary. She made many demands on me to make corrections in the minutes. And the hours that I spent poring over those audios, trying to discern or find what she was talking about, she was always wrong. So, you know, if you're going to make accusations about people saying things in meetings, you better specify the time in the transcript that that happened. But personally, I don't want to hear Bella DeSoto mention my name one more time. If I get on the board and she keeps up with these abusing the rules of talking out of
turn
and all that, I'm going to be after her because that is wrong. You know how silly these meetings have been. I mean, I'm really disappointed in a lot of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Now we hear from Margot next. Is on mute.
Yes, I'm Margot, and I just put it in the chat, and I'm going to try to read it. It's that the reason that ranked choice voting is used, which is very complicated, is to let all the candidates have a chance to win so having the runners up get to fill the positions on the LSB is logical and proper. I mean, it makes sense if the term is sort of out and the elections are postponed, and the next person who was possibly into that office who got the next amount of votes should be the one to take that position. And I think that would be very logical. And I did write something about the minutes, that there should not be any names recorded in the minutes of who voted, how they voted. It's hard with the Zoom, but it should not be recorded properly. It should not be recorded in the minutes. The proper procedure just say it was moved and seconded and da-da-da-da-da, but no names. But anyway, I think that the people who are up, who would have been winning if they had gotten enough number one votes the first time through or second time through or whatever should be the ones to take the position of the ones who are sort of turned out, so to speak, until we can get another election going. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So there's Sasha, Dr. Helly, and Andrew. And then Bella, you're not a member of the public, so I'm going to just let Sasha first. Sasha, go ahead.
I'm getting more and more reminded why I missed so many of these meetings, even though I'm not a member required to attend. It's just like such a drain and such a drag wearing me down. I can't imagine anybody else enjoying it more than me. And here's a personal note. If you're not talking, your phone should be on mute all the time. I hear all kinds of noise, throat clearing, belching, maybe farting, rustling of papers, rustling of cellophane. It's so loud. These microphones are condenser microphones that pick up all kinds of noise from the room, across the room, that you don't even hear with your own ears, but we hear it. You know, times 40 people on the meeting, and it's like, good God, if you invite someone to your house for dinner and they're sitting in your living room or in your dining room, they start barking and belching and farting and, you know, clearing your throat and sneezing and
15
you know,
seconds, Sasha.
Like, yeah, thanks. So yeah, that's about what I got out of this meeting. So that's what I'm giving back to you right now. So congratulations, everybody. It's thoroughly disenchanting and disillusioning.
I'm sorry to hear that, Sasha. Thank you. Dr. Helly, please.
Yes, I'd like to make a couple of brief points, please. First of all, I'd like to say that I thoroughly object to these never-ending closed executive meetings. As far as I'm concerned, the listener sponsors must be kept in the loop, so to speak, on all important matters. Number two, as I see it, the main problem with Mansoor's announcement, and we've heard that many times over the last couple of weeks, is that he implies, perhaps not stating explicitly, but my take on it is that he implies that the LSB was a responsible party for this motion about the sale of the building. And he also seemed to suggest the New Day Pacifica people are the good guys in all of this, and many of us doubt that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Henley. So now there's Andrew. Andrew, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Jerry.
And time is up for public comment, Chair.
Yes, we'll have just Andrew now, and then we're moving to the next point. So, Andrew, go ahead.
Thank you, Jerry. I'd like to point out again that the recent report to the listeners at KPFK, first by the LSB and then by the chair, were very positively responded to by the listeners. It was not the usual suspects calling in. It was many new people, very positive about having reports to the listeners, requesting more dialogue with the listeners. And I want to remind everybody and the PNB members that the communications motion passed 2 years ago, at least, requires monthly reports to the listeners at all stations, and that this is something new at KPFK, having a report to the listeners. The previous GMs did not do it. If Michael Novick leaves, perhaps the next GM will suspend them. KPFA, I listen to often, has not had a report to the listener in many years. Will the PNB take action and simply mandate that the GMs implement these reports to the listeners and keep communication between management and the listeners and the LSB and the listeners? It seems a simple step that can go a long way for furthering support for the station and bringing us all together. I would like to hear a response from the community members.
Madam Chair, point of personal privilege. My name
Chair,
is
Madam Chair. We are up for time for public comment.
Yes, I mean, I hear you, Lawrence, but I want to allow Mansoor to speak because he was mentioned. So please keep it very short. Come
absolutely.
Ahead.
And again, I don't need anybody to interpret what I said. I said exactly what I read to you guys, and some people are really deaf about what's going on. So thank you for the opportunity to clear my comments.
Okay, thank you, Mansoor. So, okay, we're going to move on now to the next part, which is we had originally planned to do the PNB director's response later, but because they always responded right at the time when the pings came up, is there any PNB director that wants to respond anything else before we move on to the committee reports? Okay. Hearing none of it, we're going to now point six, committee reports and motions, if there are any, and the discussion. So first, we would like to hear from the Finance Committee, please.
Chair, what's the amount of time for this item?
So this is 20 minutes planned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The Finance Committee?
Yes. No significant motions came out of the Finance Committee last month. However, as treasurer, I am debating on the National Finance Committee a motion if the KPFK building is sold, which there is a very good likelihood that that's going to happen because of the fact that our debt is increasing and we're having more and more difficulty meeting payroll, not only at KPFK, but other signal areas. So, I put forward a plan to earmark monies if the KPFK building is sold, which I hope it won't be, to support the revitalization of KPFK. And that would include, for instance, some proceeds of the money being used to pay for the move if we have to move out of the building. Also to pay in advance an estimated amount for rent for the next 3 years, because we probably will have to move into rented facilities. So money should be set aside from the sale for rent. I put in that potential motion that's being debated at the National Finance Committee level to set aside $150,000 at least to pay for a permanent general manager out of the last general manager search committee, a pool of candidates, and also to set aside other monies to be earmarked for the revitalization of the station. If we don't do this, if we don't push for monies being set aside specifically for KPFK, what will happen is debt, foundation debt will be paid, and we will be left high and dry with no real monies to improve our situation, and we'll be stuck with monthly rent of, I would estimate, $6,000 to $7,000 a month, maybe less, but that will be a burden that we will have no way to pay because our financial situation is so dire at the moment. Anyway, that is being debated. That's all that we have from the Finance Committee.
Okay, thank you, Grace. So we would love to hear from the Outreach Committee, please.
I have a question to the chair, the treasurer.
Okay, go ahead.
Grace, I believe that you submitted a motion to the National Finance Committee that was not vetted by the local finance committee in regards to what you just articulated. And then the local finance committee did not support the motion. Again, are you still intending to advocate for that motion on your own without the vetting or the approval of the local finance committee?
You know, as treasurer, first of all, the vote was very close with the motion. The local finance committee wanted to debate it more. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the local finance committee meeting this last Wednesday, where we probably would have debated it and might have passed. But as treasurer, it's my duty to present and debate in the National Finance Committee. Not everything has to go through the local finance committee. But, you know, if you want to add it to the agenda here to be debated in this local station board meeting, I don't think we have time for that, but I think it's a wise motion. I don't, and also the vote on the local finance committee meeting was a couple of weeks ago, was very close. It's one vote difference. It almost passed as an instruction. There were some questions about it. It needed a little bit more debate in the local finance committee. But being that it's a very dire situation financially, and there's every chance that the building will be sold before we get a chance to debate it in the finance committee, I think it's, in my role as treasurer, it's important that we have monies, if the building is sold, earmarked so that KPFK has a cushion and so that we can turn around KPFK. Otherwise, we'll be left with, possibly left with no money to turn ourselves around.
Chair,
I believe
my question was not answered. I've been part of many.
Giving you a warning here, Lauren.
I did not complete my time, and I just want to make sure that.
So, Lawrence, let me say this real quick, and you, Bella's hand is up first, and then you can talk again.
Okay, thank you.
It's unacceptable that you just run all over me. Thank you, Bella. Go ahead.
Yes, I know what Lawrence was going to reiterate again, is that. The motion from Ms. Grace Aaron was actually postponed. There was no such vote. There was no such closed vote at the Finance Committee a few weeks ago. It was actually postponed, more so rejected, as it was rejected here last month at this very LSB body. In fact, Beth Van Gutten submitted another motion hinting over that. Both motions were rejected, assuming that the station will be sold. And this is the kind of talk and campaign that I oppose completely. So I reject that. And I wanted to get my 2 cents in there. Mm-hmm. I will give my report for the Outreach Committee when it comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella.
Siri, I need to respond to that.
Yes.
What Bella just stated was,
there was first a point of order from Beth. What's your point of order?
I need to respond to what Bella said, given that she named me by name and misstated the actual facts yet again.
Okay, let's keep it all to 90 seconds max, please. We have little time. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, I was not able to bring forth a motion at the Finance Committee on Wednesday because certain people prevented us from ever approving an agenda. Well, we did approve an agenda with like a minute and a half left before time expired for us to go into the Governance Committee. And so that motion, which I deliberately wrote for that committee, was denied a hearing. And so it wasn't on the National Finance Committee agenda because we didn't have one in time. It hasn't been heard since, and I will take it directly to the National Finance Committee. Bella evidently hasn't read it because she doesn't seem to know what's in it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Now, Grace, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, most of what Bella stated was incorrect. Now, what Lawrence is implying is that the treasurer is bound by the local finance committee, which is incorrect. The treasurer is elected, and the duties of the treasurer are different from the duties of the chair of the local finance committee. The local finance committee reports to the local station board. The treasurer is elected by the local station board to serve for it on the national finance committee. So nothing that I do on the National Finance Committee needs approval, prior approval by the local finance committee.
Madam Chair, really I move to extend 10 minutes. Madam Chair, we run out of time. I move to extend 10 minutes.
Okay. Basically, checked. I can act as treasurer without having pre-approval by the local finance committee.
Chair, I have a point of order, Chair. This is obviously this conversation is obviously being slanted heavily towards Grace. You have Oye, who has not spoken yet. I have my hand up because I believe that there's an imbalance here. There's an imbalance between what the treasurer. Well, I have a point of order.
Now you're talking all over me. This is the second warning. I'm telling. I don't want you to please run all over me. We need to first see if you can extend the time. It's now 12:45. So
why haven't you said that to Grace, Chair? You know, come on.
Well, because there were like these 2 minutes. I mean, we need to extend the time. We cannot finish the meeting. So there was one objection. So I assume we have to vote on extending the time. So is there like a suggestion on how much we should extend the time?
Yeah, 10 minutes. 10 minutes, please.
May I suggest that we just hear from Oye Ipo? And then,
I suggest that we sort of stack the hands that are up, Chair.
And we have committee reports. Committee reports are still pending, Madam Chair.
That's why I say we need 20 minutes. So I suggest 20 minutes.
Can we
vote on this? Okay, but can we vote on this?
Yes.
John, are you ready for a vote? So if you vote yes, and we prolong for 20 more minutes, that would bring us to 1:05.
Grace Aaron.
Abstain.
Christina Avalos.
Abstain.
Jose Benavides. Jose, are you unmuted? I'll come back. Fred Blair.
No.
Sandy Childs.
No.
Marisol Cruz.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
George Funmaker.
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Ali Alexa.
No.
Oye Ipo.
Yes.
Myla Reason.
No.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Ziri Verdeau. Sorry, I'll come back for the chair. Ruth H. Strauss.
Yes.
Oscar Ulloa.
Yes.
Polina Vasiliev. Polina Vasiliev. I'll come back. Beth Von Gutten.
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman. I'll come back. Carlos Zavala.
No.
Okay. Hold on. I have to turn off my Alexa. Sorry. All right. I'll go back. Jose Benavides, how do you vote? No response. Polina Vasiliev, how do you vote? No response. Harvey Wasserman, how do you vote?
Harvey is gone. Second.
Okay. Time. Okay. Thank you.
I vote yes.
Okay. And the chair votes yes. The yeses are. Ten. The noes are. 5, and there are 2 abstentions. So yes is 10, no is 5, abstain 2, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. So we extended the meeting again till 1:05 from now.
Point of information, doesn't this require 2/3 vote?
For something like this, not that I know of. I mean, can somebody please advise
yes,
me?
Yes, it requires a 2/3 vote.
It requires
I don't believe we have
vote.
2/3.
Well, so that means you just want to leave everything unfinished and meet again next weekend. Is this what you want?
Correct.
Next weekend?
Well, I mean, we're not finished. We could now spend another 15 or 20 minutes and finish it, or we can meet again next weekend. This is why I would like to extend.
Check to the chair arguing against the vote of the body. The body has not voted 2/3 to extend this.
I think most people were not aware that they would have to meet again next week.
Well, that has to be decided by the body, not by you, Zuri.
I'm not trying to decide this. I'm saying
that. Well, we would not have to meet next week unless we all agree to meet next week.
And it's Thanksgiving.
Great. So you want to just not finish the committee reports, I hear. Okay. So I guess
that's. I move to adjourn.
Second.
I second,
Fence.
You object.
I object.
I believe adjourning takes 2/3 also.
No.
It's not debatable.
It's not. A motion to adjourn is not debatable. It takes a majority to vote. And it takes precedence over all other business.
That's true.
Okay, so we have to vote now if we're going to adjourn and leave it unfinished like this or not. This is what I'm understanding. So we need a simple majority to adjourn it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then we have to call the roll again. And I'm just
point
going
of
to
order,
say...
Point of order, please.
Okay, Ruth, what's your point of order?
I'm not good at math, but 10 and 5, I thought that 10 is and 5, 15. 10 is 2/3, is it not? I'm sorry. I'm just putting that out.
So, Ruth, the abstentions are counted in the... Total.
No, they're not. It's
2/3 of
the body. Point of order. It is not, Myla, it is not 2/3 of the body. It's 2/3 of those voting. Abstentions are not voting. It did pass. If it was 10 to 5, it passed.
Okay. So
I'll find you a citation while we continue the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. That makes me happy. So now, do we want to hear first from Oya and the other members having their hands raised up, or do you want to hear the committee outreach committee report? Because we have.
I'd like to go to the stat chair.
The stat.
Oya is first.
Oya, go ahead.
Hi. Great job, Ziri, by the way. I'd like to. In the previous meeting, I didn't vote to move the PNB motion forward because I didn't think capital assets needed to be sold, but the fact that there was no comprehensive plan. I'd like to ask the treasurer if Grayson sent an email with amounts to be set aside and allocated, and I think she increased the amount during this meeting. I personally think at least half of the amount from the sale of the building would have to be a beginning for any negotiations. But a more comprehensive plan on how the what the current debts are and what the what amounts we would set aside to service that, and whether we would need an appraisal. This is a question for the treasurer. Thank you.
Grace, you want to respond?
Okay, am I, let me see if I'm muted.
No, you're
am good. I'm live, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a good suggestion, Oye. Let's see. A full plan, we have no current financials. It would be only estimations. Since our national accounting firm left, we're not getting up-to-date financial information. Hopefully that will be fixed soon. Part of the motion I had was for a plan to extend the funds from the potential sale of the KPFK building by the executive director, and then we can work with that and decide how that pie should be divided up. But I agree, putting a simple motion to have 50% of the proceeds of the sale of the building earmarked specifically for the needs and further development and revitalization of KPFK, that makes a lot of sense. So maybe we would want to go in that kind of a simple direction.
Thank you, Grace.
But I do agree that a more fleshed out plan is definitely needed. The last thing we want to do is leave all of those funds just to be expended by the executive director with very little local KPFK oversight and very little or rushed National Finance Committee and National Board oversight. We need to think of this proactively before the building is sold, if it's sold. I agree, I would like it not to be sold. But good point, Oye.
Okay. Thank you very much. So Lawrence, then Myla, Bella, and Eric, please keep it short. We still need to
Thank you. Grace and I have been around for a while, and there has been many close votes. The fact that the insistence on being an independent agent acting on behalf of KPFK and its listeners and its board to advocate for a motion that I think is just the best practice to have the consent and the support of the board, because what's going to be left after the sale of this building, depending on the most recent estimate, which I can't disclose, but what it's going to be crumbs. It's going to be breadcrumbs. I mean, it's going to be nothing that we could save. So I support Oye's recommendation that we come up with a proposal and a plan. And I think that's one of the things that Beth Van Gruen has been advocating for also, that we come up with a plan where the proceeds, that we get a good amount of the proceeds if the building is sold. I also submitted a point of order in regards to the sale of the building and how I believe it's a breach of the bylaws because the LSV was not consulted. A vote from the LSV was not taken. And I did not receive the support of my colleagues who sit on the national board with me. And then there was no mention of advocating for a plan such as Audrey recommends and such as Grace recommends. I in principle support where you're going, Grace, but I just want for the best practice to be practiced and that the board affirm a plan moving forward and that it's not done independently by any member. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Bella, go ahead.
You know, I'm very concerned that we are talking about selling the building, and we have got to deal with other issues right now at year end, for instance, to bring in different people into our board. We need to do a lot of work. We have an IGM that is pro bono, and he's working very hard. He's working against time, the clock. And right here, we are working against the clock. I'm doing what I can from the outreach expert aspect, and it's very difficult, but I will not subscribe and I will not support any efforts to sell KPFK. At this stage, I will not. I simply cannot, in good judgment, at this stage of the year as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Ella. Yes, go ahead, Eric. Thank you.
Yes, we should be more precise. Nobody's talking about selling KPFK. Nobody could. It's part of the foundation. The PNB does have the ownership of the entire foundation and all its assets, and there is a provision that says that if the vast majority of the assets are put up for sale of the entire foundation, then it requires a vote of the membership. But they do have the authority to make this decision because the sale of KPFK's building is not in that category. But I'm very concerned about this idea of KPFK after 52 years, I believe, since the building was built, becoming a renter somewhere. This is has strong potential to influence our autonomy. Anytime you're a renter, you're subject to the authority of a landlord. Perhaps we would find a benevolent landlord. There's also talk of some benefactor perhaps buying the building and then allowing us to stay in it for a period of extended period of time. But I think we should have at least the same deal that KPFT got in Houston. The Houston station had to sell their the building at which housed their station studios, and they were able to buy another piece of real estate, another building that currently houses their studios. So if this it's a worst case scenario in my mind, and I hope it doesn't have to happen, but if it should come to pass, then we should at least be given the same terms that Houston Station was and have our own replacement building, perhaps in a less affluent part of town. But that would be serviceable and we would be our own landlord. To me, that really fundamentally impacts our mission, because if you have to answer to a landlord who doesn't like something about what the station is doing, that mm-hmm. could just be a prescription for disaster. So this needs a lot more thought, Grace, in my view. It should not. And also, I am opposed to rocking the boat with regard to going back to the well for a professional, so-called professional general manager. Michael's doing a great job. I listened to his reports to the listener and his all station meetings, and we should definitely do well enough alone in that respect. We got nowhere with the professional managers that we brought on in my time here, and I will not support hiring anybody who comes to us from the outside. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Beth, go ahead.
Yes, this was it. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have brought forth a motion. I took it straight to the local finance committee, and they stonewalled the process to the point where that wasn't heard. I'm not going to let that stand in the way of getting the work done for the organization. If the local finance committee wants to weigh in on something, they should mend their ways in terms of governance, in terms of getting business done, and disallow the blocking of agendas again and again and again and again. This has become a routine tactic by some to prevent anyone from doing anything who isn't they themselves. So I'm not going to let it stop me. It's a good motion. I'll email it to everyone and take everyone's input, but I'm not going to let this stand in the way of moving it forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm a little doubtful if we should take all these calls now. I mean, all the you want to speak, but we also have to complete the committee reports, and it's already in 2 minutes. We're supposed to be up again. I mean, I would ask you to restrain from putting yourself on the stack, and the ones who don't have anything urgent to say, please postpone it for next time. I see Michael and Bella and John and Kim now. This is going to take us alone 10 minutes almost, because nobody sticks to the 90 seconds, it seems. Thank you,
Chair.
Actually, we have a whole list here from Michael.
I'd like to call for the order of the day.
Okay.
The caller for the order of the day, and we go to the outreach committee, right? That's what you are running for.
Yes.
So, Michael, is there something urgent you need to say for this? Okay.
I put in the chat, I can make it in 10 seconds. FJC advertises as an underwriter on National Public Radio that they work with donor-advised funds to enable charitable giving to nonprofits. And I think we should approach them to offer their services pro bono to Pacifica to enable us to get more funding. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to continue now with the outreach committee report. Bella, can you please give us this report?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the next 2022 town hall event of the year will be on the 27th of November, which will be the last Sunday from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. Posted at KPFTX. The information and will be submitted, in fact, today to Michael Novick to promote on air with perhaps imagery as well for the front page of KPFK. I hope that that this gets promoted on air because he has not been promoted for several years. The other thing is that we tried to get to conduct a multi-location hybrid, but it just has not worked out. Too much is happening right now. And I'm also working diligently with the Spanish language programmers for the 10th of December event. There's a lot of planning that goes into that as well. So I do what I can. And I sent out yesterday, Michael Novick, the IGM's call 2 days ago, the call for volunteers with a great image. We do need desperately volunteers. We have a very long list of outreach membership. But again, when it comes to actual tabling and being physically at the event is a very, 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 very minuscule number. So we need help in that respect. And I invite all of you to join in. The information is you will be heard. Michael Novick has invited, of course, the ED. Invite you all to join the town hall on the 27th of November, 1 to 3 p.m. Zoom. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bella. So we have now the primary program oversight committee. Can we have that report?
Yes, I just emailed this to everyone very briefly. The KPFK Programming Oversight Committee held its regular monthly meeting Monday, October 17th at 4 p.m. with 11 people present. The entire meeting was devoted to discussion of programming with the new interim general manager, Michael Novick. We would like to extend an invitation to the IGM to return again for further dialogue at November's regular meeting tomorrow, Monday, November 21st. At 4 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Beth. There's from the fundraising committee, Elena has actually sent me an email. She said she couldn't be here because this is a meeting. And my husband's okay that I'm reading part of this here. So she said that in the moment there is Janine, Alicia Vargas, Sly Rivers. They're working together with this committee, doing outreach for donations, and they are currently looking at photography, camera, musical instruments, companies and outreach to restaurants, theaters, and music venues, and see if they are interesting to have a relationship with us. And so they are writing cards for the IGM and the programmers for a solicitation on air, and hope those can get started within this week to air.
Madam Chair, I forgot to mention that a week ago, I met Michael Novick, the IGM at Theater West, which is right near KPFK, to introduce him to Eugene Hutchins, who is a director, so that we can start partnering in doing cultural arts work and apply for grants through the city cultural affairs department and do all kinds of cross promotion and so that we can help each other, and also the space that we can use coming next year. And we have some key dates in January that may be earmarked for possibly KPFK utilizing.
Thank you, Bella. So then we have the PNB Committee of Inclusion. Is there a report coming?
It did not, Madam Chair. This is Bella. The meeting.
Chair, Bella, I'm the convener. Please.
Go ahead.
Relax. There will be a meeting on December the 2nd. I'm gonna be posting it widely for the Committee of Inclusion. No, but we did not meet.
Can you repeat that date again, Lawrence?
December 2nd.
December 2nd at 5:30.
Okay. And so this completes the committee report. Now, there was a motion that actually I made up for the holiday because I thought it would be nice if we have an in-person holiday party at KPFK sometime in December, where I suggested, you know, to do this sometime in the middle of the month or something. And I wanted to ask if that's something that would interest you. Are there any objections to do a holiday celebration at the station?
I object, and we're over time, and I don't understand why you haven't recognized Kim Kaufman, who has had her hand raised for some time. Why are you jumping ahead of her?
Well, because we were going through this is what Lawrence called out, to stick to the agenda. My intention is to, after we have done these parts, we can still hear everybody, but we will be way over time. You were actually the one who wanted to stop at 12 o'clock, remember?
That's right. That's right. I'd like to hear from Kim.
Yeah, well,
it's not public comment yet. It's still board business, Chair.
Okay, well, I object to the party.
So, is there any, if we have one objection, I guess we have to vote if we have a party. Very sad. So
can we go for the vote?
I have a point of order, Ziri.
What's that, Sandy?
With the pandemic, we still should not be in a building, and Bella is not allowed in the building anyway. She's still banned.
So Bella is a whole other story, and we're not talking if Bella is coming or not. But
you're going to not invite her to a Christmas party? I think you should ask staff how they feel about it.
I have actually asked the staff, because I was actually at the building most of last week. And so there are some staff who are totally fine with having a party there. And so there was no objection from the staff party. So I would like to have a vote now. I have a party. So could we please make a vote on this, John?
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Christina Avalos.
No.
Fred Blair.
No.
Sandy Childs.
What are we voting on?
If you vote yes, you are in favor of the party. If you vote no, you're against the party.
Okay, got it. No.
Marisol Cruz.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
George Funmaker.
No.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
No.
Oye, Oye, Yipo.
Peace, guys. Yes.
Myla Reeson.
Peace, guys. No.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
I'll come back to the chair. Ruth H. Strauss.
Ruth, can you unmute?
I'll come back. Oscar Ulloa.
Yes.
Belina Vasiliev. Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Harvey Wasserman, I was told, is gone. Carlos Zavala.
Abstain.
Okay. Ruth H. Strauss, how do you vote?
I don't see Ruth in the Zoom anymore, Secretary.
Thank you, Lawrence. So that would be Ziri Rideau. How do you vote? Madam Chair, how do you vote?
Yes, I vote yes.
Thank you. Are there any members present who have not voted? Okay, the yeses are. The yeses are 9. The noes are. The noes are 6. And there was 1 abstention. So that's yes, 9, no, 6, abstain, 1, Madam Chair.
Point of order.
That's your point of order?
My point of order is that Robert's Rules requires at least a majority of the quorum in order to pass a motion when so few members are still in the meeting. So you would have needed 12 yeses in order to pass this at this time.
No. Chair, may I be recognized?
Go ahead, Lauren.
I believe my colleague is completely incorrect. We have quorum, and those voting in this quorum does sustain the motion, Chair. If she could provide me that citation, I'll be more than happy to self-correct.
I'm going to have to find it, but I believe I'm correct. Thank you.
So I also read this is for something like this, that if at the beginning there was quorum, that even in the end you can take actually the votes, and even if they're not the majority of the initial voting group, that they will, that this will prevail. So this should be a vote.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. Okay, so that means... Myla, if you want to submit these other rules you say are existent that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, I'll get them too. I don't have them handy right now.
But for right now, we consider the motion adopted, and we will then discuss details next time about when and where and everything.
Chair, I have a point of order. This is a citation. The majority of a quorum is still established, and the only requirement is at least 7 votes.
Okay. Thank you. So now we have Kim, who has her hand up forever. Kim, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I have to say that Grace's numbers in this motion that she's waving around are just not based on reality, as usual. And that's the problem of why KPFK's building has to be sold, is because there's been years of like non-reality looking. The fact is, you don't even have August financials, and they're available. And if you can't really stay on top of your financials, these are all just funny numbers. I know there are people around the network looking at plans for KPFK. I know that because people are calling me to get accurate financial information about Kay in order to work on some plans. And nobody from this station is asking me, and they're just waving around she and Beth. They're both have like these vague, motions that make them look good. And as for the local finance committee, Beth totally misstated that meeting. She came to there unprepared, because Grace dumped this on her an hour before the meeting. I had made a motion the day before. Grace didn't put it on the agenda. And then Beth, of course, submitted her motion at the last minute. So it's not that the committee was trying to sabotage her. She didn't come with a good agenda. And she's not a strong chair.
Oh, my God.
The funds are not going to be expended by the ED with no oversight by the PNB. You know, you're just making these things up, and it's wrong.
Thank you, Kim. So, Lawrence, please keep time because I timed it myself now and we were over time. So, I don't know.
Chair. I'm sorry. I dozed off.
Hands up now. There is what I wanted before we go to all these hands. Can I say 1 minute something about the unfinished business just for our record? So, I want to explain what this is in reference to. There was at the recent governance committee a discussion about a motion that had initially been introduced by Michael. We talked about it briefly earlier. We voted to split this into two votes, as Bella has mentioned earlier. So that means one is in regards to who is considered absent and an unexcused absence. And then the other one was about if we should introduce video for the committee, you know, in the form of, I don't know what, Maestro video or Zoom or something. And so these ones will be still discussed with Michael. And so this is the unfinished business I wanted to refer to. This is number 8. Is there anything in new business that we should bring up right now?
Adjourn.
Madam Chair, my hand is up.
Yes, there's a bunch of hands up. I just needed to get through this whole part. John, have we completed the public comments? Did we have enough public comment in this meeting?
We went over the 30 minutes required, Chair.
We have plenty of public comment, but now let's hear from these three people where the hands are up, and then we can adjourn. So, Bella, go ahead, then Eric.
I want to, Madam Chair. I said this last time. I said it at the Governance Committee. The recent Finance Committee was a complete fiasco. In many respects, Kim Kaufman is correct. Not only that, Bev van Gutten came and vacated the entire agenda that had been submitted by Grace Aaron, which is the duly chair, but she was absent. So she vacated without any explanation and submitted, which were all unfinished business. And she vacated, and then on top of that, she submitted her own motion to replace everything. And the motions she submitted was, again, it's about assumption of the sale of KPFK. When I objected, and I sent in my objections via email, she rejected them, would not allow me or Janine to speak up. And Janine also submitted a motion, an amendment. It was a complete fiasco, and her resistance to allow commentary was the cause, the culprit.
15 seconds, Bella.
For us losing an entire committee and trying to mute me and Janine. That's what transpired. It was a complete fiasco. You can go and hear the
time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I'm asking Eric, Lawrence, and Ralph if Beth can respond to this since she was directly attacked. Beth, are you ready to respond?
Point of order.
Not attacked.
Point of order. I thought that we had agreed to adjourn by this time. Was there a motion to extend time again?
No, there was also no motion to adjourn at this point.
I so move to adjourn.
Second. Adjourn immediately.
This is not okay. You don't just extend time without the permission of the body.
I mean, simple courtesy to have these four people here, you know. And
no, the simple courtesy is to abide by the agreement to adjourn.
The simple courtesy is if you don't want to be on the call anymore, just leave it. And I would like.
I move to adjourn. It's not debatable. We have to vote on it.
Chair, point of order, was Mala recognized to speak and to make the motion?
Not. So, Eric, go ahead.
I move to adjourn.
I have the floor, Mala, please.
Eric, this is out of order. This meeting is.
I was recognized. I was
recognized.
Point of order, the meeting is over per our agreement. You don't have anything.
Okay, so I would like to tell the ladies who want to immediately stop the meeting that we want to hear these four people. If you don't want to be here, please leave. This is the simplest courtesy that we can hear them out.
Point of order, what are you going to do if we're not here? That doesn't seem fair to keep going.
Chair, if somebody's not recognized when they make a point of order, you don't have to hit them.
It never stops you, Lawrence.
Eric, you have the floor.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Desiree. Beth doesn't need my defense, but I want to offer it anyway. I listened to portions of that Finance Committee meeting, and it was really, frankly, disgraceful, not because of anything Beth was, she was trying to, the best she could, contend with what looked to me to be, anyway, rather concerted effort to derail the completion of the agenda so that the substance of the matters that were on would have been discussed, could have been discussed, and it didn't happen until shortly before the entire time certain for the meeting was reached. Also, a rather gratuitous remark was made that Beth, not being a strong chair, I'll point out that Beth was the chair of the LSB for several months in 2020 and did an outstanding job, and she's done an outstanding job as a PNB and also a PNB delegate from our LSB, and nobody is working harder than she is to prevent the sale of the building. So I hope that insinuation is retracted. There may perhaps are different strategies, I suppose. Everybody being somewhat of a party of one, it seems.
The team secretary.
But please, Beth is, to my knowledge, and it's, I think I'm well informed, working tirelessly to avert this sale that's being considered by the PMB of the KPFK building. Thank you.
All right. So we have Lawrence, Ralph.
Thank you, Chair. So I understand Eric's admiration and bias towards Beth, but I'm working my ass off to prevent the sale of that building. And I have coalesced even with people who I don't agree with and or who have not been consistent accomplices with my efforts. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Lawrence. So now we hear from Beth, and I would actually then not get anybody else on the stack, Bella. We said we had these four more. So Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. I would invite any of the LSB or public members to listen to the most recent Finance Committee. It's given that I did agree to chair with less than an hour's notice, and that the only agenda I had was what was left over from the last meeting, and I had to start from scratch to put an agenda together, especially given that it was a special meeting and that it was limited time because we had the governance committee coming up immediately after. We couldn't extend. I proposed that we prioritize items that have to do with the financial crisis over the kinds of procedural motions that are so often used to delay adoption of an agenda to the point where meetings can't even convene, which is what indeed happened. They ran the table effectively right through both hours, in spite of the fact that I pointed out again and again and again that their motions were delaying the meeting, you know, to the point where we had met for half an hour, then an hour, an hour and a half, and we were running out of time for a real meeting. It didn't stop that. I'll call it a tactic because this is not the
15
only time
seconds, it's Beth. Done.
It's the only place I see it done is on KPFK committees. I think it is a concerted effort. I think we need to find a way to stop it, to let committees get to the business that they are mandated to cover. So I don't apologize for anything. I really resent being set up to be knocked down that way. And
your time is up, Beth.
Yes. Thank you, Beth. So I want to thank you all for your patience. I know these meetings are long, but it's very important that we communicate, and I'm glad we got through the agenda now. So we can adjourn this meeting now.